welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Buttawachich.
Wait!
He's not here.
Fire up the... Oh!
Now, he was...
There
Danny,
he is.
Danny went flying right past me when I was out in the parking structure.
Song.
Yeah, so I was surprised.
Danny, what was keeping you?
He must have got...
Smell me.
Wilshire was backed up.
Ah.
All right, but I don't understand. If you just turn off Wilshire, you go ahead and, shoot down. Oh, I see. Yeah, bottleneck.
Wait, Danny, did you stop for a Starbucks? Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Oh, I see. Did you go with the latte, or did you go with just straight coffee? Chai tea. Interesting.
Hi, real Danny.
Hi, real Danny's here, buddy.
I don't think those clocks at the gym are right.
You know,
and mine I keep fast. I've got 5 minutes ahead of what time it is.
You know, the keeping. Let me say this. I do a fair amount of thinking about this. I've had clocks that were perpetually a few minutes slow, and then I would go ahead and set them fast. My problem is I would set them 4 minutes fast, and I would do 5+ in my mind. Like I'd go, oh no, that clock's like 5-10 minutes fast when it was 3.5 minutes fast, and it's the same thing like. When the phone rings, you know, sometimes you go, I'll get it. And then you go, I shouldn't get it. Here's what you should do. Here's a life unimpeded. Set your clock. I set every clock, my car, my house, whatever. I set it for exactly the time. I listen to time and it says at the tone, the time will be, 6:31 exactly. And when the thing rings, I push the button. So I know there's none of that. If there's a clock in my house and it says, 5:31 in the morning, it's 5:31. Just 5:31. It's never that. You know, the one in the kitchen's a little bit fast, but the alarm clock one I think's a little is more right where you never have to do that speculation part of it. And ultimately, I think it's the best way to go. I've tried the different variations.
Right.
Yes. It's best just to go.
You're right.
That is, it's 5:31 in 10 seconds.
And,
that's what time it is.
Something, there was an extra bonus that threw me.
Yeah.
Normally, I can check my phone, which I never take to the gym, but it has beam in time or whatever. It's right.
Right.
But I'm watching the news on the treadmill, and it's got live.
Right.
Eight or seven something New York time. And it's got to be right. It's got to be right.
Yeah.
So I didn't do 30 minutes on the treadmill today. I figured it out. I had 27 minutes, not 30, which broke my heart. You know what I mean? It was so close. But that's the time I have.
Right.
And theoretically, because you don't know, I'm really weird about this. I've measured this and timed it 20 times, probably.
Your
to be
commute?
In my park,
yeah.
Get at least my shirt off, dry off with those wet naps, with the sanitary naps, and then spray deodorant, and then walk in here.
They're called a French horse shower,
yeah, exactly.
By the way.
Hooker shower.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Because they come from the baby section.
Can I suggest that possibly the cigarette smoke had obstructed your view of the television set when you're on the treadmill?
They frown
the treadmill.
On that. Not at the gym.
Well, can I say...
In my basement.
Can I say this briefly? First of all, I think setting the clocks exactly on time makes so much sense, and even symbolically and spiritually, why not just know exactly what the truth is?
It is one of these things. I feel like I spent the first half of my life wrestling with life and the reality of life,
right?
Which is, I've always had jobs that started at 7 a.m. That meant, when I swung a hammer, you had to be on the job site at 7 a.m., which meant I would set my alarm clock for 6:41,
right.
Get up, pull on the jeans I wore last time, day before, grab my shoes under my arm and run out the door. I spent my entire first life sort of not getting up 10 minutes earlier, having a cup of coffee and brushing my teeth, These little things you do to sort of skirt
life's
obstacles, you'll never win.
Yeah.
7 a.m. is 7 a.m. You're not going to bend or warp time. As soon as my kids, here's an interesting conversation nobody ever has with anybody, or at least I never had, or I never heard of anyone having, right? When my kids, when they can understand the language, one of the first things I'm going to tell them is look, don't wrestle with the alarm clock.
Yeah.
Don't wrestle with time. Don't spend your whole life wrestling with it, trying to milk another minute and a half here or snooze bar there. Give yourself 10 extra minutes in the morning. Don't be late. Don't try to set your clock forward or backward. Don't do the snooze bar dance. Just accept that you'll be getting up, by the way, not twice a week for the rest of your life, 7 days a week, every day. As a matter of fact, the only day that you don't have to get up is the first day you're dead. So,
right. Well, thank God it's coming for me sooner than it's coming for you.
Seeing as how this is something you're going to do every single day without failure for the rest of your entire life, let's see if we could be friends with
it. Yes, acceptance.
Acceptance.
But,
Adam was talking about beating it, manipulating it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to beat time. I'm trying to better it. I'm trying to time it.
Right.
Here's what I was doing, and I was here. This is now my third time to be 15, 20 seconds late.
Yeah.
Although, technically, my contract says 6 to 10, so I've never been late.
Mm. Right.
It does. That's what it says right there. It doesn't say 5 to 9. But I should, it starts 5 to 9. I'm just being semantic because I don't like it. I don't like the way it sounds. Late even by 10 seconds bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I would work out in my gym in the morning at 4. But my home gym is small and doesn't have the certain equipment, like a cable crossover is a big piece of equipment that won't fit. So at about 5:40 or 4:40, I would have done what I can accomplish in my gym. Mm-hmm. I would fly to the YMCA at that point, who opens at 5, and finish up. And at approximately 5:40, then I would fly here.
Right.
Well, then I joined the gym next door and would wake up at a normal time. The second they opened at 5, I would do my workout, which gave me... At 8 minutes, I'm not even cutting it close. I can work out for 42 minutes and not even be close.
Right.
And then sometimes I'm...
Or 52 minutes, right?
That's cutting it close.
Oh, that's cutting
it
close.
I wasn't doing the math right, but that would be cutting it close. It's 300. You can see it from here. You know the drill I'm talking about.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, may I give you the sad female version of the trying to manipulate time or not?
Yes,
please.
This is so sad. You can play sad music. It's that sad.
Can it be
sadder than sweating baby wipes right now?
Well, it's on a par. It's on a par. Well, when I started this job, I lived with a guy. Uh-huh. And when you live with guys, certain things get done around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then, they changed the clocks and it was just daylight savings time.
Right.
And, every VCR and everything is set to the wrong time. And every time I look at the VCR or the thing, the TV, whatever, that's not, that's set an hour off, I feel sad. And I know I could change it myself.
Yeah.
But it makes me sad.
It's a quiet digital reminder.
Yes.
Of a relationship.
Of being
your,
alone.
Yeah.
And there's no one to reset the time for me.
Well, live like me and live with noon for the rest of your life.
Perpetual noon.
It's noon forever, Maya. I was trying to fix the clock in my car yesterday.
Uh-huh.
It turns out I have GPS.
Uh-huh.
Swear to God, on that big Morongo out there, Armada.
Right.
It's just said, do you agree to this? It was like a fake screen where they hadn't put the computer in yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pushing buttons trying to change the clock, and the map came up, and I have GPS. It's still an hour off, but I know right where I am.
I just want to hire somebody to come over and change all the times on all my clocks.
Change your day.
The thing is, it strikes me is there's many different clocks and techniques for changing the time on those clocks as there are clocks. It used to be we lived in a sort of mechanical analog world, which is there was one way to change a clock. There was a little spinning rod thing on the bottom of it.
Yeah.
You pull it out and you turn it, or you just turn it, whatever it is.
Same thing with this regular watch. It's got a stem you pull out.
Back in the day when things were mechanical, there were sort of like opening packages in that things were packaged differently. But if you looked at it, you went, I got to get the top off and the lid off. And you would start twisting and pulling.
Bang.
And eventually something would pop off and you'd go, all right, I got the top off.
Sure.
In the digital world, things aren't intuitive sometimes. My car's totally different than my thermostat.
My car's clock I cannot figure out.
Right.
And I've seen cars valet guys can't park. You may know what they are, this new Ferrari or Lamborghini. You touch something with your fingertip, and that's what shifts gears or something?
Well, yeah, there's like a push-button transmission because they have the sequential shift, Formula One shift on the column thing.
Jesus.
And then they also... But then there's also like this. You have to have your foot pressing on the brake on some cars in order to engage it, and some cars you don't. But yes, there's a different thing and a different combination for everything. And you could stare. Now everything has a clock in it. My thermostat has a clock in it. It's digital.
Has a clock in it.
That's right.
And I can't set it.
You could stare at my thermostat for 3 weeks. You couldn't figure out how to change the setting on the time. Then everything has a manual and everything has a remote. And the one that always drives me nuts the most, and I understand, look, if you make a car, make it however you want. But it would be nice if we could just agree on the presets on the radio.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be nice if there was just one universal holding the button on the station that you want it to go to and have it beep and then move on? Because there's as many different ways to set a preset on a car stereo.
That's the only way I know.
Cars.
That's the only way
Believe me, there are many other variations.
Yeah. That's why my car is an hour off right now. Every clock in my house
the
is
noon.
The
most important one, though, is the shower, the spigot, the handle that you use to do. You know the one at home, like the back of your hand, but then you hit the road, and there's that joystick, or there's single knob, or the one that has the weird sort of confusing red and blue swoosh right and left. You know, you do that same thing where you pull it, and then you turn it all the way to one side, and you have to stand there. Then you get in, and it starts spitting cold water at you like... If we could agree on one shower operating knob, if there's just one, like whatever, get the greatest minds of the world together and go, this is it. It will not vary from this.
It's that would be beautiful for
like
me.
A keyboard.
Yeah.
You don't go
it's
and go,
QWERTY.
Hey, I have a Mac. I have my own combination of letters. You have IBM. That's different than you go to your old Smith Corona. That's it. No, we figured out that we should have keyboards laid out in the exact same way so that you can hop from workstation to work. Yes. If you go travel and you have to do business and you go down to the computer and you want to use the hotel's computer, you don't stare at it for 20 minutes and go, where's the D?
I wonder what this one means. Yeah.
Shouldn't we have that with the shower? Because people have been burned and scalded in those things.
Well, and the other way around. It takes me forever. You've hit a nerve with me. It takes me the longest time to get in the shower because it's always too hot if anybody's been in there before me. Always.
Right.
And then I start a couple times playing around, and then I move drastically.
Listen, the
then
point is...
Then I take it all the way down to cold,
right,
and then tap it right. Tap.
The point is, I'm going to pay phone screener Kyle $5 to change the clock in my car.
Possibly come to your house as well and work on that one.
It's 21. Start with a car. But I did spend a good 10 minutes and then that's 10 minutes of just thinking, what a sad state of affairs. But I can't figure it out.
And yes. B, you have a very sad state of affairs.
Yes.
And you talking to the dashboard and yelling at the dashboard.
Sweating like Danny running from the treadmill to the job.
And then eventually the cry for help where you have to pick up the telephone and start calling people that know more than you about this stuff. And they walk you through it like there's some bomb squad detective going, okay, the blue wire, does it have a sequencer on it? That's a digital sequential clock. Yes, I see. Okay. Don't touch that wire. Getting that stupid argument with people.
And then I can hear them going, you're all alone, aren't you? You're all alone. Why don't you have a man to help you with this?
The clock talking to you?
The clock talks to me.
I'll bet.
Clock talk.
It's like, hey, do you know what time it is? It's time for you to maybe start thinking about hooking up with somebody.
Time to drop your last egg.
It's been time for you to think about that for a minute now.
All right, it's time for us to think about a break. But the good news is our old friend, and I say old friend, not because we've known her for a long time, but because she's effing old. Angel. Thanks, baby doll. Angel. I guess it's
Rach. Yeah.
Angel Rach. Who is a medical marijuana user and was denied the right to use it by the federal government. And this is going to be good. All you guys, your ears should perk up. All you folks that always accuse me of being very right-wing and very militant with all my thoughts, you forget just how progressive I can be when it comes to things like drugs. And believe you me, I don't care. I think I should be able to grow a pot plant in my backyard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And go, it's my property. By the way, I pay gazillions of dollars in property taxes. Now, as far as the pot plant goes, well, don't worry about what
property.
I'm doing with it. Yeah, because it's called my property.
My property for a reason.
If I choose to smoke it, then I'll smoke it. If I want to share it with my friends, I'll share it with my friends. Now, if you catch me selling it, Or you pull
giving it to children.
Or giving it to
stupid.
Children. Or if you see me backing out of my driveway and I'm swerving and I've smoked some of said pot plant, then you do what you, that's when you take over.
Right.
That's when you. But until that time, whether it's a gun sitting in my safe or a bottle of Jack sitting in my bar or a pot plant sitting in my, whatever it is, that'll be my business until I take the gun out of the house or the booze between my legs when I'm driving.
Free Americans have the right to do any harm they wish to themselves in their own home as long as they are consenting.
By the way, this woman is very ill and her story quite compelling.
And the fact that the guy, that the thing that always bumps me is the Chuck Hestons of the world who go, I'm an American. I've done nothing wrong. I want my gun. You'll pry it from my cold, dead hands and all that. When they hear about a guy with a pot plant in their yard, they're like, confiscate his house.
Right.
Take his house away. Really? That's the same mouth? That's the same American? That's the same patriot? You want this guy's house taken away?
And his car? You would impound anything this guy had if it transported the marijuana, if it was in there, if the money has to do.
Yeah, they want the car taken away when the guy goes to the park to score a dime bag. The reason I only use the house example is that is your house. Have the pot
the
plant and Chuck Heston, you should be standing in front of this house chained to a bulldozer when the federales come up the driveway with the jack boots on to take the guy out of the thing in a musket. That's right, a three-cornered hat.
Glad you got that part out.
Thank you.
Chest.
Well, this woman will melt your heart if you disagree with free medical marijuana. You should listen to her.
We'll talk to her next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Coming up today on the Adam Carolla Show with Program Director Jack Silver.
Check it, peeps. We'll continue with our March Madness tournament. Check out AdamCarolla.com for a bracket of things that piss Adam off. Hey, Ace Man, here's one you forgot. Uptight chicks who press charges. We'll have an American Idol recap. Comedian Robert Schimmel and the real men of genius. Hey, here's an idea for your next ad. Here's to you, radio program director guy, with your dashing good looks and enormous wang. In the morning zoo of life, you are the lion, regal, majestic, not gay.
Thank you, Jack. Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, Angel Rach is the older woman with inoperable brain cancer. Yes, Teresa Strasser.
Yes, yeah, she's got inoperable brain tumor, several chronic pain disorders, a seizure disorder, scoliosis, TMJ.
Mm-hmm.
I've got that.
She's very sick.
Again, I don't think marijuana is good for you. And as a matter of fact, there's probably many things you can take for. We'll talk to her in 1 second, but let me say.
Okay.
Let me just interview myself for 1 minute.
You don't necessarily have 1 second with this lady.
Well,
did you
that's
hear
true.
About the diseases.
Yeah.
You
gotta
get half
I'm
going to
go on a limb. Say, I'll be fast.
Okay.
The problem with all this stuff is people argue too much on both sides. The right side says, hey, drugs are drugs and drugs are killers and say no to drugs and we want to live. I don't want to live in a society where everyone's hopped up on drugs. They go nuts. Anyone who smoked pot knows it's a who cares drug.
A total, yeah, kickback.
Just who cares.
Pizza.
Look, we should wish, it's, you know, be the greatest thing in the world for this society if all the boozers and all the meth heads put down the crack pipe and put down the bottle and picked up a bong and started smoking weed, we'd be living in a utopia in about 10 seconds. Violent crimes and murders would go down 20-fold. So pot, not a bad thing, not a good thing, but chili dogs aren't good things either.
Yeah.
And SUVs that guzzle gas aren't good things. We've chosen to live in a society where we went, well, look, if you want to drink yourself, if you want to get yourself a sixer of Mickey's Big Mouth and a couple of hot dogs over at the Wiener Schnitzel and wash it down with that, that's your business. It's not going to be great for your cholesterol, but we're not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah,
and as long as you don't hurt anybody, then do it.
Think about what you are trying to take away in one fell swoop. Winnebago's chili dogs and pot. What's wrong with you, you commie bastard?
Well, I don't want to take them away.
Give me a big home in the ozone, but give me my beer, my Winnebago, and my chili dog. Well, thank you.
I would say if you've ever known anybody who's been very sick with a wasting illness like HIV or cancer, a lot of prescription painkillers make you really sick, and pot doesn't.
Well, here's the other problem, and I agree. The other problem is the folks that are pro-pot are too pro-pot. they try to turn it into this panacea that's going to cure everything.
Yes. And it's right for some.
And then the doctors say, we have drugs that are much more effective than that. Shouldn't be the argument.
Right.
The argument isn't it's the greatest thing. It doesn't hurt anyone. No, it's not good for you. No, I don't want my 14-year-old smoking weed. No, it doesn't cure you if you're ill. The question is, who cares? If it works for you, so be it,
right.
Especially when you're in the state that our guest Angel Raich is in. Angel?
Yes.
Good to speak to you. When I say state, I mean California, and I mean physical state as well.
I would just like to say rhetorically, how are you?
Well, you know, it's been rough. I've had a hard couple of weeks now, and, you know, I'm hanging in there. I'm still using my medicine, and I'm still going to, you know, fight this issue on behalf of patients, and...
How old are you, first off?
I'm 41 years old.
41.
And I'm 41.
Prime of life.
And you have what condition?
Well, I have many different conditions. I have an inoperable brain tumor. I have life-threatening wasting syndrome. I have seizures disorders. I have fibromyalgia, degenerative joint disease. Uh-oh. I mean, the list literally goes on and on. I can go on all day.
All right, I'll take the brain tumor. The rest of this stuff I'm...
Brain tumor is really difficult. The brain tumor is
fibromyalgia.
I just found out yesterday the brain tumor is now causing problems. And
you just found out that the brain tumor was causing problems? Did you think it was, you know, just hanging out, doing nothing?
Well, the brain tumor, yes. For the last, I found out I had it in 1999, and it was about 2 centimeters then.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 centimeters now, only they think that there's some parts of the tumor that they can't see on the MRI because it's now... affecting my hearing, my sensation in my face.
Are they gonna operate?
Well, what the doctor told me yesterday is he'd like to do some radiation.
Mm-hmm. So as far as whatever, you know, I mean, I don't mean whatever, but you have medical conditions, and marijuana seems to help. What is the story? What happened with the federales and the marijuana?
Well, the federal government doesn't want me to have medicine. The problem with the government's theory is that, you know, and a lot of people say, oh, well, there's a lot of other drugs that you can take. The problem with me is that I've tried the other drugs, and unfortunately, I suffer from intolerable side effects or allergic reactions.
Here's the whole thing about this, if you don't mind me cutting off. There's a lot of other drugs you can take. Drugs is right in the title of the other things they want you to take.
Pharmaceuticals would be another name.
Cares?
Yeah, why shouldn't she choose which drug works for her?
That's the whole thing. Like,
no one's making money.
As a government, here's what I want our government to do. You guys work big to small, which is you guys go hell-bent for re-election after the murderers, and then eventually, once they're all taken care of, we'll focus on jaywalkers.
Right.
That's the way exactly I want my government to do. This is the kind of thing where they seem to have endless time and resources for people that have brain cancer and are smoking weed, but there's not enough guys to put down on the ports. We just don't have the manpower.
No, you realize that there's medical marijuana right here on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Yeah,
that
you have to be a member of the club and get a prescription.
But still, if they're going to bother this lovely woman in the twilight of her years, if you will, and 6 years younger than I... You have to be concerned, I think, with the government stepping in and telling you what's right and what's wrong with your personal health.
Well, Angel,
how this affects society, but how this affects this young lady.
Well, can I ask her how she got busted the first time?
I didn't get busted. The problem was is that the federal government was coming into the state of California and raiding a lot of people, and I just happened to be very high profile still. You know, I've been doing media and nationally, internationally since 1998 on this issue. And I was afraid that the federal government was going to come and raid me because of the fact that I was outspoken, which is something that they had been doing. And so instead of waiting for them to come in and take my life and kill me, I actually went on the offensive and I went after them and sued them. And lost in the district court at first, won in the Ninth Circuit, and then went into the U.S. Supreme Court. Then lost
Angel.
In the U.S. Supreme Court, yes.
Where's your dad?
That's a good question. My dad isn't around. My mother doesn't support this either. But the fact of the matter is that if I don't use it, I'm going to die. And last week, the
Wait. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I appear stupid. If you don't use the marijuana, you'll die?
Yes, the problem is
See, I thought the marijuana was to help you with the nausea.
I think it's from the wasting.
It helps me with nausea, it helps me with pain, but the problem is that I have a wasting syndrome. And without the cannabis, I don't get hungry at all.
Uh-huh.
And if I don't get hungry at all, I mean, I don't get any of those stomach growling. I don't get no hungry feelings. I get none of that. And literally, I drop a pound a day if I don't use cannabis because it helps me consume between 2,500 and 3,000 calories a day.
So your parents don't support you on this?
No.
And your dad, when did you see him last?
That's a good question, too. I haven't seen my dad in many years. I haven't even talked to him in years. The last time I saw my dad, my dad pretty much, you know, my parents are kind of more like the federal government. They're conservative. They don't understand. And I tried to explain to them, you know, what the doctors have said. And the fact of the matter is that without cannabis, because, see, the problem is I can't take other drugs.
Uh-huh.
And so without
cannabis, is a problem.
Well, why? So now the federal government has taken away your marijuana, or you have no access to marijuana? Because I thought medical marijuana was legal in the state of California.
It is legal. The problem is we have a conflict between state and federal law.
I understand they're going. I know they're busting some distributors or whatever
they're
calling, but it still I feel it's pretty accessible. Like if you want to get marijuana, you can get marijuana.
I have growers that grow my cannabis. Getting the access to the cannabis isn't the problem. The problem is the federal government says that it's illegal, and the federal government and the court last week pretty much, the court said last week that I do not have a constitutional right to life. And that's the problem. I just lost constitutional rights to life, and so the federal government can come and kill me.
Well, this is...
you did that. You love that little come and kill me thing. Like they're gonna go there and shoot you dead.
I think Angel feels like without this cannabis, she can't eat, and therefore she might waste away.
Angel feeling like it and saying, and that's when the government will come over and kill me. Are two separate animals.
You
can't
say
you can't. It's certainly, but you still can't say one is fact when the government has made no threat to come kill her.
Well, actually, you know, the federal government has surveyed and. And not only have they surveyed me, they surveyed my caregivers, and that was part of the reason why we filed the suit.
So, Angel, let me just make sure everyone's on the same page and we're caught up here. You can get access to marijuana, but you're taking a stand in the sense that you don't believe this is right, and you could get the marijuana, but you're making a stand for what you believe in.
Well, but I'm also, you have to understand that I'm speaking on behalf of millions of patients across the country.
Right.
The fact of the matter is that we have states that it's not even legal yet.
I know,
and the court basically said last week that go ahead and go out into the world for the most part and pass more medical cannabis laws in other states that it's not legal. And the fact of the matter is we really need to put pressure on Congress.
Agreed.
Because patients should not have to suffer.
Are you married, Angel?
I was married. I was married to one of my attorneys. However, I'm single now.
Your dad, was he abusive?
My dad was just not there.
Hmm.
My dad left when I was 4.
You know, I take umbrage with that. My daughter, I told you this the other day, my daughter, I was very proud of her the way she physically stood up because I was yelling at her and she was seated.
Mm-hmm.
And she physically stood up and I was on the railing, so she was my height, and said, "That's it. I'm going to stand up for myself and blah, 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 blah. And you're just like your dad." And I looked at her and I said, "You know how you know I'm not like my dad? You're not bleeding."
Yeah, I know I'm definitely not like my parents. And the fact of the matter is what I think what people need to really understand is that, it is legal in the state of California. Yes, it is illegal under federal law.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is that this issue is very important. You know,
I've said many times, I grew up around hippies. My mom was a hippie. All her friends were hippies.
How would I know that?
Hippies congregate together because, for the most part, they don't work.
Don't smell that right.
Yeah.
How should I know?
So I could remember they would be there was big movements to legalize marijuana, and we're talking 1972, 1969. I mean, we're talking 30 plus years ago. I mean, we're talking before the first oil embargo. And if you would have asked any of my mom's hippie friends, when do you think this will be legal? They would have said, I don't know, 75, 76. latest 79. The idea that we're into the 2000s, yeah. Well into the 2000s.
All of these
and we're
archaic.
Still wasting breath on a who cares kind of an issue is absurd to me. And yes, that the federal government has no funds for certain things, but unlimited funds for other things does irk me. Angel?
Yes.
You're fighting the good fight.
You're doing the Lord's work.
And we appreciate it, but you should definitely take care of yourself first and then take care of the man second.
I always do that. And, you know, I always also talk to my kids. I have a son that's 21 that's in the U.S. Army.
God bless him.
I'm going to be a grandmother in August.
Oh, congratulations.
Got married. Thank you. And I have an 18-year-old daughter who, you know, gets good grades. She's got a 3.72 grade point average. And
that's great.
You know,
it's not out of 10, is it?
And I do this for my kids because the fact of the matter is if, you know, I'm a parent first and an activist second. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, if you're going to break a law, a federal law, you know, you need to do what you can to try to change the law and set an example for your kids and the public.
I think what you have done here is a lovely job, but as an advocate, that's one thing. I am a recovering, lying, stealing, jack junkie punk. And what you might want to do is take things like TMJ and carpal tunnel syndrome off your resume.
Yeah, that
of
fibromyalgia thing usually clues people in that it's not.
What you want to do is you want to go brain tumor, lung cancer, lymph nodes. You want to be bleeding out your eyes, but you don't want to hurt finger. Okay, they see that's all they're going to focus on. Get the bad ones and put a spotlight on them. Teach them to sing and dance, but don't put carpal tunnel.
Well, I don't have carpal tunnel.
TMJ.
And so I have TMJ, but the fact of the matter
is that the movie where you get whistling in your ears TMJ, like William Shatner?
TMJ is actually part of an immune disease, and I have several conditions that fall underneath that category. And the, you know,
tinnitus is the ear thing.
I don't know if you know anything about fibromyalgia, but it's also an autoimmune disease.
Well, nobody knows anything about it.
It's a very difficult condition, and it's like walking around with the flu all the time.
You know, I'm saying,
focus on the tumor, not the flu.
Oh, I do focus on the tumor.
All right.
Here's how I can prove I'm right. I have a pocket full of marijuana because I heard she was going to be on.
Really?
And I'm not giving it to her.
Really?
I told her she wouldn't listen. You want it?
No, Danny, that was good advice.
Well, no.
Stick to brain tumor.
It's true when you give your list of ailments, and I'm not making light of this, although, you know, fibromyalgia was yesterday it was called Epstein-Barr virus, and it was chronic fatigue syndrome, and now people hear nuts when you start saying
and
it.
And now it's recalled Roseanne-Barr.
Whether it is something or not, I don't know. The point is this. By the way, my buddy Ray and Ozzy will never have fibromyalgia, and they'll never have Epstein-Barr virus, and they'll never, as long as they have to get up and go to work,
they feel fine.
They'll never have anything. But here's the thing. If you're giving a list of ailments, you say, I have a brain tumor. Done.
That's enough.
Cancer, not bad.
The thing that's weird about the list of ailments, brain tumor, you're done. You give me another one, your score goes down a little.
Right.
By the time we get to the 18th called you nuts, and I've moved on in my brain.
You move from brain tumor to bad hair day, and you're losing me. You're losing me and my bag full of marijuana.
It's sort of like this guy, this son of a bitch backed in my car, and he totaled out the front end. The fender said the whole front end is torn off the car. And he put a scratch in the ashtray, and the dome light doesn't work. And if you keep going, eventually people tune out and go, this guy's nuts. He's just trying to hassle the insurance company and get a new car.
Yes, it isn't to say she doesn't suffer from these things.
No,
I think they're real, but it does read as hypochondria.
I don't even feel that they're real. They're real. This lady's sick. I believe her. She had the doctor's notes. I'm telling her how to sell.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wish her well.
I'm telling her how to sell her illness.
Although I did have a little inkling about Papa.
You did? I know.
I saw you working on him.
I feel bad. She's all alone without her parents to help her, and she's sick.
Well, she's got her family.
Yeah, she has a kid and a grandchild.
Got a ex who was a lawyer, so he can kick her over a couple of ducats.
Howard K. Stern's a lawyer.
It's a good point. We wish her well. Now, moving on to bigger and better things, March Madness. We're smack dab in the middle of it. We're down to our Sweet 16. If you go to our website, AdamCarolla.com, you can vote on these things because we've decided to put it to the people. You pick a winner. We'll have our next brackets. I don't know who's going up against who next, but it will be a battle royale on the hardwood known as my tongue.
Wow.
Where's the three-point line?
It's been a while since my tongue has felt some hardwood.
The splinters of love from Adam Carolla.
March Madness next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's March Madness on the Adam Carolla Show. Yesterday's first matchup pitted chicken-ass tickets.
When the cops look in your car, they just see a big sack with dollar bills sticking out of it. Stop it! Let me drive!
Against the number one seeded safety warning stickers.
You see the stickers on every tool. It's all over the cars. It's all over everything now. I'm going with the stickers.
And despite a strong showing, guys who leave lids off things.
We came up with the flip-top, so you retards could be motivated to put the cap down. No.
We're defeated by the heavy favorite, seatbelts on school buses.
We never stop talking about kids being our future and seatbelts, yet the only place you will not find seatbelts is a school bus.
We're down to the Sweet 16, and the competition carries on this morning.
What's going to make me mad in March?
Safety warning stickers versus seatbelts and school buses on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we've decided to put it to the people. I'll rail about these topics. You figure out which is more compelling, which speaks to you. You go to AdamCarolla.com, you punch on the bracket, and you vote. And tomorrow we'll announce who's moving on to the Elite Eight.
Exciting.
All right. Shall we get started with March Madness? All right. First up, safety warning stickers. Ubiquitous. We've tuned them out. And again, when you're tuning out warnings, that's not a great society. You hear the truck backing up. Nee, nee, nee. Tune it right out. You see the warning stickers on everything. On lighters, on cigarettes, on cars, on everything that has to do with a child. And you tune it out. Well, let me say something. When I buy something, I buy it for its function, and I buy it for its aesthetic value. And when you take crappy warning stickers, and maybe someone needs to design a beautiful, calligraphied, wonderful-looking macrame or gold leaf, or maybe you use Gothic lettering or Old English lettering, maybe you spice it up a little. You know, maybe my Jaguar should say, ye driver of said vehicle, be careful of yon airbag death or something. You know, if they did it in a way that was more conducive to the actual environment it was in, I would buy into it. But as it is now, every car I have, and I have a Ferrari, and one of the things I need to do on the Ferrari is take some window cleaner or take some denatured alcohol and clean the leather dashboard where I peeled the airbag sticker that was sitting right in the middle of the dashboard off. And I guess I should be thankful that they even gave me a choice of peeling it off, because my other cars have had to take heat guns to try to peel off the iron-on stickers. All I'm saying is we've polluted ourselves. They don't do it in Europe, and they seem to get away with it. You go to France, you walk around, everything is beautiful. You go to Paris, no stickers anywhere, no warnings. Everyone just walking around holding glass. Can you imagine drinking a beer in a glass bottle? And is there anarchy over there? No. Or is every hotel on fire because they don't have pneumatic closers on their doors? No. Are all the cars crashing into each other and the airbags going off, decapitating infants? No! What's the next one?
Oh, this is a tough matchup. No seatbelts on school buses?
Wow. Oh, I don't want there to be seatbelts on school buses. I don't want there to be seatbelts anyway. I want you to install your own seatbelts if you want, and especially on our airplanes. All I'm saying is the hypocrisy of our obsession with seatbelts in this society. And again, you can't get 10 feet without someone screaming either to slow down or put your seatbelt on, and there's no way you can get near an airplane without long-winded seatbelt discussions. They're so obsessed with seatbelts and airplanes that they actually took a seatbelt and they hold it above their head.
Oh, yes, they do.
There is some drunken bitch with too much makeup on and a haircut from the 40s saying, this is a seatbelt. This is how it works. Really? You, what else? You're going to pull a spork out when it comes time to eat and go, this is a spork? Spork you, bitch! I know what to do with this seatbelt. I got the message, but yet we don't put it into the school buses. So the most precious thing we have is our children. They're our future. They'll get no seatbelts when they're being transported in that tin can known as a school bus. But yet, everywhere else, all I'm saying is either put them in or shut up. Because right now, we got the worst of both worlds. We got you never shutting up about seatbelts, and we have our kids bouncing around a school bus. Mm-hmm. I would like one or the other.
You ready for the next matchup?
I'm bouncing kids.
Yes. No. Wait a minute. No, all yes. right.
Do you know how hard it is not to talk during this stuff? It's just, I just want to scream.
Oh, this thing is well timed out. Ah. All right, I've said my piece on both subjects. You go to AdamCarolla.com.
Safety warning stickers and no seatbelts.
Mm-hmm.
Up to the listener.
You have we have exactly 2 minutes to make my point. Very well timed out.
Nice.
All right, so that is that topic. You pick it out. You pick out the one you like. You vote on it on AdamCarolla.com. What is our next matchup?
Red turn arrows? Or
no.
Oh, Nash?
No. That's it.
That's it.
Oh, that's it. Oh. All right.
That's the game for today. 8:45, we're going to do National Pride versus Airline Classic.
I'm glad we got this all worked out.
Yeah, that's, it's a good thing we worked this out.
I thought we did.
From Kimmel.
This is as clear as a vat of motor oil.
Those of us who were here yesterday.
I want him to call back up and go, now that's what I meant when I saw the well-oiled machine.
We're sorry, Kimmel.
All right. He yelled at us yesterday to clear this thing up.
He might add a point.
Yeah, I think he did. He always does. I thought we were going 2-2, and then 2-2 in the 9 o'clock hour. All right, we need to take ourselves a break in that case, but don't worry, kiddies. The news is coming up with Teresa Strasser. What do we got,
Speaking
baby doll?
Speaking of Kimmel, exciting news in the world of late night. A late night host got sick last night, moments before the show, and guess who stepped in?
Smoke another one, buddy.
I will play for you that man hosting the show of David Letterman.
Wow, that's a weird one. I got that one.
I think I got it too.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, does it?
No.
He was supposed to be a guest, and
I know who that is.
That particular person makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Why? What do you mean it makes no sense?
That guy was even booked, let alone thinks he could step in and host Letterman on a moment.
I don't know. I think you have the wrong guy. I think I
have
the right
one,
guy,
buddy.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back to find out who that is next on the Adam Carolla Show.
The dreams have all been answered. Sacred, now a secular treat. Now T knows what it's like for guys in prison, or to be Bald Brian. Yeah, T's behind.
Rich, thanks.
Done
himself this time.
That was delightful. I'm sorry that Brian had to be hit with the shrapnel of the friendly fire.
I got to tell you, I've never been to a roast where I didn't get roasted as well as Pam Anderson or Hugh Hefner. That's what happens when you're in the comedy game. A lot of collateral damage.
I'm really glad that I shared that vulnerable story with you guys so it could be made into a song.
Rich Banks.
What
genius.
The hell did you think was going to happen on this radio station?
Well,
if I came into this radio station, I said, you know, I just found out my mom has cancer. I wouldn't count before my mom has cancer joke started.
Well,
hold on, we have Danny's cancer mom is on the phone.
Oh, great.
Mrs. Bonaducci. You're in an iron lung. You're clinging to life? Uh-huh. You say Danny was a mistake?
You tried to abort him.
By blowing secondhand smoke inside yourself?
Death frat guy's tube.
I just hope Chris John Amanpour doesn't steal that song for before her newscast.
Well,
just so you know, I can bench my mom's iron lung. That's how we get together. It's family time.
I want to say this about Rich Banks, because whenever... you know, whenever you do these parody songs, you get lumped in with, you know, Weird Al and whoever else. This guy's a craftsman.
He's a genius.
This guy plays.
You're that nerd.
This guy's a great musician who happens to do that. And did you hear the guitar work on? Yeah. We don't have to hear the whole song.
Oh,
but
no.
Let me hear the guitar work one more time on that song. It's really, the guy's a pro. We're just going to hear the first 4 minutes.
He was dating this guy who was complimentary. So he gained entry.
All right. Yeah. Just nice work, Rich.
Yeah, Banks. And if he knew who the guy was, it would make it just extra poignant.
Yeah, well, I do.
I love that they needed any extra anyway.
Let's do the news, baby doll.
Please.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Good news for a 12-year-old Boy Scout. He was wandering lost in the rugged North Carolina mountains. He's been found after 4 days lost. Mm-hmm. And his father, obviously thrilled that his young son was found. Apparently, the 12-year-old boy stayed behind on Saturday while the rest of the troop went for a hike because he wanted to sleep in.
Well, now, I heard that he was trying to thumb a ride home because a couple of his buddies didn't show.
Both are true.
At the jamboree.
And I heard that he wasn't 100% okay.
Well, what happened was he apparently wanted to sleep in, and then he wanted to go home, so he tried to hitchhike. He was homesick. In the end, he was found, and he's apparently in pretty good shape. Here's his father. Yes. Let's take a listen to his father, Kent Aubrey, describing the situation now with his son.
He's very tired. They tell us he's very dehydrated, but he came through this in a remarkable fashion. The one other thing he did want to say, he told us in the rescue squad, he's worried about makeup work in Miss Self's class. So if Miss Self could cut him a break, he would be very, very grateful.
I would give that kid a timeout till he was in his mid-50s.
Why I waited for her to say he was okay so I didn't have to get this off my system. He wants to sleep in when he's with the Boy Scouts. He wants to thumb a ride home. That kid should have been lost in the woods and eaten by bears.
On the other hand,
they should be finding bear poop with little merit badges in it.
I do. That's where I got mine.
That's how I got mine.
Ironically. 60. How to remove merit badges from bear poop was one of the merit badges.
In the poop.
Talk about twisted, yeah.
Actually, his friend won one for throwing poop. There's all sorts of merit badges for pooping.
Yeah, on the other hand, I do like the cut of this kid's jib, which is, hey, where's Stewie and Freddy? They didn't make it to the jamboree? I'm with Nerdy. I'm with Nerdy and Wetz's sleeping bag. I'm blowing this taco stand. I'm gonna thumb a ride home. I love a 12-year-old just thinks that I'm out of here.
I'm gone.
This sucks. I got my thumb.
I know there is something satisfying about the story.
There would be if he were, I was going to say a spaz, but there's actually something medically wrong with him, right?
No, he has ADD.
When did they make that one up?
I want to go to Hawaii.
Right after fibromyalgia.
Listen, if I have a 12-year-old that loves quiet studying and doesn't want to chase the dog around with a stick or throw a dirt clod through old man Wilson's pane of glass in his front yard, I'm going to take the kid in and put him on medication to speed him up.
Because they're unwidy, your dad.
Right. When I was 12, I couldn't read a stop sign without getting bored halfway into it. I would go, oh, Christ, this is like pulling teeth. And all I wanted to do was get Ray in a headlock and then jump off someone's roof into a swimming pool. Now, if that's ADD, I don't think so. It's 12. It's what 12-year-old boys do.
Yes, it's a developmental stage.
Yes.
Now,
but a ballsy one, though.
Mm, sure.
Yeah.
That's the thing to do.
Yeah.
In entertainment news, last night, and Adam, you probably know more about this than I do, but it seems like talk show hosts rarely just get sick and take the night off. Well, David Letterman had a stomach bug before taping last night's episode of The Late Show. Mm-hmm. So he had to go home. He must have been very sick.
Yeah. You know, it's a weird thing that almost never happens, and you just think it would happen much more in life. Like, you'd think every 20th flight you took, someone would say, We have a situation. The pilot is a man in his 60s, is taken ill and will not be able to, you know. You just think there'd be more of that. It doesn't really exist that much in society. Letterman, Kimmel, Leno, Conan O'Brien. Now, these guys have done thousands of shows without interruption. They're all guys in their 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever, who aren't exactly living off of tofu. There are guys who eat red meat and you know, don't eat organic fruits and vegetables. My here's my point. This is how you know the guy two cubicles over that's missed 3 days in the last 2 months of work is full of ass.
Right.
When you have a job where you have to perform, where you have to get there, and I'm sure that Letterman, Leno, and all the names I've just mentioned have had many nights where if they had a crappy job they didn't want to go to, or no one was going to miss them, would have said, you know what, not tonight, not feeling well.
I think Paul Schaefer is sitting there thinking, God, I'm one heartbeat away from hosting.
Well, funny you should mention that, because Adam Sandler was standing by. He was going to be a guest on the show.
Ah.
So he was tapped to fill Dave's shoes.
Well, I think Danny and I were both wrong on who.
No.
Oh, well, you were.
Wow, you're not.
You
a
were
fan?
Saying. You were saying. Why is this guy hosting? Why is this
absolutely.
Guy hosting?
Why would Adam Sandler?
Yeah. Well, you know what?
What do you call him, a C-lister?
I call him a one-trick pony with almost no talent.
Okay. Well, this.
But
leaves,
if Adam Sandler is standing in the wings,
right?
And
I see him
the
as a
guy
good
who's hosting the show can't host the show.
The question, as I heard it, was you may be surprised who it was, and I am surprised. I didn't think he could do anything without a written page and all his jokes tailored to him, making funny faces, singing songs in that same exact voice.
But we don't know that he did a good job.
Let's find out. Do you want to take a listen?
Disagreeing about the job. Adam Sandler.
But listen, here's the thing. Adam Sandler may be, in fact, a horrible late night host. But the fact that they gave Adam Sandler the nod should not be surprising,
sure.
Considering he's an A-list comic who was going to come on the show that night.
Yeah.
I didn't think it sounded like Adam Sandler. I thought it was Dennis Miller.
Ah,
oh, really?
That
no wonder you thought it was bizarre.
That would have made sense because he's hosted his own show before.
Yeah. All right.
See,
well,
I don't think we're having the same disagreement. I'm not surprised they offered it to him.
Right.
You made it sound like you'd be surprised somebody who was there and did this. It sounded like it was a big and
smoke
was there
another
to
one,
and
buddy.
And do great. And I just don't think of him as being able to talk
I didn't
on his
say
own.
It. Teresa offered it, not me, and that wasn't her gist. But go ahead and let's hear the clip.
It's surprising in general that somebody who was going to be a guest has stepped in. Now, he is in a movie called Rain Over Me.
Mm-hmm.
It actually looks kind of like a good movie. It's about a guy who loses his family in the September 11th attacks and can't get over it. Anyway, Don Cheadle's in the movie with him. And in this clip I'm about to play you, when you watch Letterman, it looks so easy interviewing people. And then when you listen to Adam Sandler do it, not so much.
Mm. Yeah, we ate a lot of food that night. And who was there? There was a guy there, right?
There was a guy there. We didn't get to meet him, but we named him Jerry. And Jerry loves Stubbs.
Yeah.
Jerry would sing Broadway tunes about Stubbs. Welcome to Stubbs, he would sing.
He loved his ribs. He loved his chicken, Jerry. And he just loved Stubbs. He didn't want to ever leave
Stubbs.
The place.
He's a stubophile.
I really suck at this, by the way. I'm sorry.
They were discussing having lunch together.
With Richard Jenny? That guy sounded like Richard Jenny.
That guy did sound like Jenny. I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, that was Cheadle.
That was Cheadle. And then, actually, they stumbled onto a moment of comedy gold for some reason. They began to sing a duet of Endless Love. This is Adam Sandler and Don Cheadle.
Oh, singing in that voice. What a change up.
There's only you in my life. The only thing that's bright. And I want to share all my love with you.
He has a nice voice.
Yeah.
No one else will do.
I'm going to pay Bonaducci a compliment here, is if Bonaducci's your guest and you have to fill in...
I'd have fixed that.
You just... Well, that would have been a great duet. But we would have done Islands in the Stream.
Yeah.
The point is you can just point him, tell some good stories, and you're fine.
You say hi, give me 8 minutes, and then say thank you for
coming. Right. When you have actors, and Cheadle seems like a good guy, but he's still an actor. Tough. Yeah. If you have Kathy Griffin... No problemo.
No problem.
If you have Serena Williams, look out. It's going to be a problem. Like, so what you don't want is an athlete or an actor.
Right.
And there's a decent chance, or like a basketball coach or something, something like that. What you do want is hungry and redheaded. You want Bonaducci or Kathy Griffin. And when I hosted, when I filled in doing, Kilborn or whenever that was, It was pretty much that's it. I had Kathy Griffin one night. It was like, oh, well, I don't have to think about this. She talks a mile a minute. She's funny as hell, and she comes loaded for bear. But the very first guest I had, and I was nervous, and I was interested. I'm interested how things work cosmically.
Right.
Which is, it's me, get my big shot on CBS. I'm filling in for Kilborn. They're giving me three nights, not just one night. So they're looking at me as the odds-on favorite to fill in Kilborn's big shoes when he's decided to split. And the first night and the first guest is Serena or Venus Williams. I think it was Venus Williams. And everyone said, oh, boy. It was one of those things where it's like, hey, are you nervous? Yeah, I am pretty nervous. Great. Be prepared to be more nervous because Serena Williams is coming out there. Yeah, what's the problem? She's an athlete, number one.
Which one would you like me to be?
You could go ahead and be Serena.
Okay.
And it's and athletes, they let their fists do their talking. They let their legs do their talking. And not only that, she's got a little attitude. And as a matter of fact, she was on about 6 months ago, and she is a tough interview. And you need to talk to her about her clothing line the whole time. Otherwise, she's not going to answer anything. And it was all that stuff, and it was like... Oh, good Christ. Why couldn't I just have Kimmel up here or somebody? David Alan Greer. I know so many guys. I know so many funny guys. Where's my Kathy?
Go fast.
Where's my Kathy Griffin? Really? Out of the chute? My first dive off the 3 meter board, and I'm going to do a double twist with a whatever. She turned out to be funny.
Oh, good.
And it was great, and everything was fine. It was just that day of Serena Williams is your first draw. Like, do I got to get the number one seed when I'm number 16 right out of the. Yeah.
And she was fine.
She was fine.
And I forget her last name, but she was 94 and she made the world's famous ribs. And nobody on the other half would talk to her. They were all afraid because she wouldn't speak. And I looked at Dick Hark, of all people. I wasn't talking about him, but I looked right at him and said, if you can't make somebody interesting for 4 minutes, you don't deserve your job. And they all looked at me and said, you got her? I said, I got her. Nope, I got her. She wouldn't answer me. She wouldn't speak for 4 minutes in a cooking session.
There's a lot of horrible guests out there.
I mean, I said, I'm 94, and they said she won't answer you. I just didn't believe them. I thought they were overstating.
The booty queen.
Yes.
No.
We've had the type of guests we have.
Yeah, Cheadle is a nice middle draw.
He worked
with him. You're friendly with him and all that kind of stuff. But this is so much easier when you have a fast-talking, funny comedian.
In brief, in television news, Dancing with the Stars, big hit, 21.7 million people watched. That's a lot of people. American Idol was on last night, and later in the show, we're going to break down the entire two-hour episode.
Good.
But just a quick tease here, one of the best performances was that beatboxer from Seattle, Blake Edwards. Mm. The theme of the night was British Invasion, songs from the 60s. Blake Edwards did an excellent version of the Zombies' Time of the Season. We'll hear more later from Idol, but briefly in closing.
He did a little popping and locking, too.
Yeah, he's a great dancer.
It was a 2-hour episode last night, and for me, it turns into American TiVo. I got through that 2 hours in 11 and a half minutes. I power through to see
Stephanie Edwards, goodbye.
Pow, see you, baby. Let's see what Simon has to say about the Pop and Lock Kid. And I power through all the Ford and Coke commercials. And I wanted to consume the whole thing so that when we broke down the game film in an hour or so, I'd have something to say about it. But thanks to the wonder of TiVo, really took me 12 minutes to get through 2 hours, and I knew everything. It's the cliff notes of television.
Yes, it's true. Now, in brief, quickly before we go to break, I need to know your favorite color, Danny and Adam.
Black.
Black is your favorite color, Adam?
I'm colorblind, except for what color am I?
An atheist.
No. Let's
gray,
see.
Gray, blue, black, white, pink, yellow, red.
Shouldn't be a hard question. It's not algebra, man.
No, I know it's weird. I don't have one.
Is that a favorite Three Stooges?
It's weird. I know it sounds stupid. Let me give you guys an example.
Favorite Zeppo brother. Well, that's tough. Favorite color, blue.
I don't like to brag, but I got some nice cars.
Yeah.
And they look good in the color they're in.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an old British sports car, it looks great in British racing green. It looks spectacular. Yeah. But
time has passed.
If you have a Ferrari, it looks good in that Ferrari red.
Right.
They don't look as good.
My GTO looks good in my GTO red.
Right. It doesn't brought painted on by the
Earl Shive,
by the way.
The point is
if you took your old American muscle car, your GTO, and you painted it British racing green, it would not look very good.
Or a regular drab brown. I would almost not like it anymore.
So to me, it's sort of what it's on, but if you were to press me, I would say my favorite color these days, if I was going to paint a room, would be a dark red, sort of a burgundy. Burgundy red.
That was that. Yes.
One more word. Can I just say something?
Yes.
Those last six minutes were the answer to what's your favorite color. Sometimes I just want to get up and shake. Blue, maybe teal.
Yeah.
Listen, we pinned him down to red, and here's the interesting thing.
Burgundy.
It's named after booze.
Yeah, it's
got to
be good.
All right, never mind. I take it all back.
Color called tequila. Wouldn't it be your favorite?
Yes.
A team of psychologists has put together a
steroid
list.
Yellow.
They've decided that your favorite color can determine things about your sexuality. So if you're in your car, you're listening at home, and you also like the color burgundy, this applies to you according to this group of therapists.
Right.
People who love red are the craziest in bed. You're easily aroused, you enjoy relations at any time of day, and you usually initiate.
Mm-hmm. Well, people who happen to be red.
Mm-hmm. And Danny, you said black.
Yeah, what if your pubes are red?
Yeah, what if you actually are red?
Danny's favorite color is black, and if yours is too,
huge.
This applies to you. For some reason, this doesn't mean you crave the brown sugar. It means you're a deviant. People who love black enjoy perverted relations like S&M. Also, police psychiatrists say black is the most common favorite flavor of sex offenders. I hadn't read this before.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And if you care, my favorite color is pink. I have not read this, so I don't know what it says.
Mm.
People who love pink are immature sexually.
Board up pills is the gay flag.
Rainbow.
Whatever color that is.
If you like pink, then this applies to you. The women like to tease and not always deliver. The men tend to be cheaters who are never happy with just one partner.
You know what? I thought they were all fairly accurate for a basic thing of news that's in the, you know, it's kind of crap.
Yeah.
It turned out to be really accurate. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, the black one is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll go with it.
Hey, let me ask you this. The gay flag, it's on the triangle. A lot.
Well, there's two things. The triangle is a symbol for AIDS awareness. And
is
the
that
rainbow,
what that is?
Yes. The
is
triangle
that,
with the circle?
Is it a pyramid?
It appears to be just a triangle. Maybe
there's also a triangle with the rainbow.
Am I right? Am I right, Bill?
Alcoholics.
That's for AIDS awareness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I thought the triangle. I think the triangle came from Nazi Germany.
Yes,
too.
The gay people in Nazi Germany had to wear a yellow triangle.
Yeah. Triangle.
So I think that's the genesis, but it's now an AIDS awareness.
If you just to get back to your original story about colors, if you wear a yellow triangle and you're a Jew in Nazi Germany, what kind of sex do you like?
Well, if you have a brown bandana hanging out of your left pocket, it means you're Greco-active.
Well, it actually says
I'm a World War II historian.
Good to know.
Actually, it does say that yellow is the most common favorite color of gay people, according to this study. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Good news, everyone. The Real Men of Genius. Budweiser's Real Men of Genius.
My wife loves these guys.
I love them, too. I mean, look. How many commercials can you say, especially that get played on the radio, where when they start into it, you will sit in your car for the remaining 46 seconds to hear the entire spot? For me, it's their Budweiser Real Men of Genius.
Absolutely.
I love their commercials.
Can I think anyone offhand?
I don't mean
to put you on the spot because I really can't hang up. I'm thinking, isn't there a corn dog guy?
Yeah, there is.
And the peanut vendor,
there's
maybe.
There's way too much a cologne wearing guy. There's like the taco salad, which was one of my favorites.
It's really good. And you know the product right away. That's the thing we've always talked about. It can be a brilliant commercial if you don't know what they're selling at the end.
Right.
It sucks. You know what these guys are selling.
Yeah.
These guys are, I guess, in or doing the Blades of Glory movie with Will Ferrell. But we'll bring them in here, and we'll get to the bottom of the real Men of Genius next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, non-alcoholic beer.
It has the taste of ale without the pleasant inebriation? What kind of a man would drink such a concoction?
That was Adam Explains Non-Alcoholic Beer to 1780s Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, now my favorite commercial that's ever run on radio and on TV. Have I seen Real Men of Genius on television?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were about 10 of those back in a few years back.
Seems to sink in deeper into my psyche on the radio.
In the radio, yeah. I watch a fair amount of TV, and I haven't seen it.
I like that the theater of the mind's better, I think.
But you can start, I'll bet, one or two lyrics of any one of the songs, and Adam and I would know them, or Teresa, within seconds. Well, they were brilliant.
There's 182 of them.
We know them all. Have you read his billboard,
I
bitch?
Don't.
Hold
this
on.
Is American Genius.
That's it.
182. Yeah. That's nothing to our Carolla.
Peter Stacker, by the way, and Dave Bickler, both here now. Peter, you do the voiceover work,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do.
And Dave Bickler, you do the singing.
Yes.
And Dave was in Survivor.
I was. I was in Survivor, the original Survivor.
And something I always wanted to ask, the band The Ides of March.
Yeah, the keyboard player, songwriter for The Ides of March was also, band sort of formed around him, Survivor around him after he left The Ides of March. He was doing a solo thing for a while and then, formed Survivor.
A little insight into the Ace Man's psyche quickly. I oftentimes forget the address of my house. I don't send out any mail. I never write it down. I have a guy who does all that. And every once in a while, somebody says, what's your address? I'll send it by the house. And I go, I don't know, and I don't know any of the streets around my street. I couldn't tell you the next street over, but when I'm driving in my car and I hear the guitar solo from Friendly Stranger in the Black Sedan by the Ides of March, I think, wow, that sounds just like the guitar solo from Survivor. And then I realize
there's a connection there.
There's a connection
there.
The same guy. All right. So I know only the stuff that nobody cares about, but I don't know the important things.
I think it's fascinating.
I care.
Like Dave.
We care. We care.
Friends on my car.
Well, Dave, now that wasn't you singing that song, but it was you singing the Rocky stuff, right?
Yeah, the Eye of the Tiger. Yeah.
Give us a shot. Give us a taste.
Rising up back on the street.
More.
That was good. More.
Just wait a little bit more. Just tell us.
He's waiting to come in. Yeah.
Now I could get it done easily by the recording. It is. What time
you
is
sound
it?
Really good though 7:30. For this hour.
Have you guys made it a gazillion dollars just from this one song?
We have. A billion, I think, isn't it?
It's about a billion, with it, including the choppers are a write-off.
The song really gets me on.
It gets you what?
It gets you going.
Yeah,
going.
I know. It makes you want to punch a heavy bag or an old lady in Bonaducci's case.
Thanks.
Or a tranny.
Look,
who cares?
I just took all my rings off. I was going to go hit him.
Any port in a storm.
Takes
a while to get to it. Right,
yeah, it does. I know.
In.
It's got a big intro.
Back on the street. Did my time. Took my chances. Go.
Did they... Now, did Sly come to you, or did you submit this, or how did the whole thing get started?
We're from Scotty Brothers Records, and Tony Scotty was talking to Sly Stallone, our friends, and mm-hmm. he said he's looking for something for his new movie that was more contemporary than, you know, that's just the Bill Conti thing. So he said, I got this band Survivor, so he sent him some tape, you know, of the movie, and that's how, you know, Eye of the Tiger
came
up.
So you wrote the song?
Yeah, specifically.
Watching the movie. Yeah.
Got the Eye of the Tiger, you gotta come on!
And Peter Snacker, you're professional voiceover.
Yeah, I do lots of stuff.
Guy, and you've been working for many years. Yes, and you guys were put together, you say, 8 years ago?
Yeah, it was 8 years ago.
The whole
yeah.
Real Men of Genius?
The first set was different from the second set.
Well, right? that was Real American Heroes. Yeah. That was prior to 9/11.
And that was, like, give me an example of a Real American Hero prior to...
That would be Mr. Footlong Hot Dog.
Mr.
Footlong.
Yes.
That
was
brilliant. Mr. Taco Salad Inventor?
Yeah, that was later on.
I think that was when it changed to Real Men of Genius, but there was Mr. Bowling Shoe Giver Outer. That was
right. Mr. Foam Finger Maker.
I remember that.
Yeah, sure. You've given us what we've always wanted, a bigger wiener.
Wow, that's good.
Now, how...
I thought I had the pipes, but this guy's got the pipes.
And who's the genius that writes the Real Men of Genius stuff?
Well, there's a whole team of guys together at DDB. There's about 20 guys.
Yeah. Oh, DDB?
And then and we're part of the creative process, which
Should
is really neat.
Should we know what DDB is?
No, not as
an advertising firm, right? And how much tweaking do you guys do? Because I imagine when you start saying it out loud, you go, "Oh, this would be funny if I said this."
Yeah, there's a lot of sometimes stuff comes in and it's dead on, Mr. SPF 15 wearer. That was they didn't change a thing on that. That just happened. And other stuff, it takes a while. If it doesn't work, then the whole group descends on it and just rips it to shreds until it works.
Has there ever been one? And I know there's like Mr. Wears Too Much Cologne guy, and some of this stuff has to kind of get close to the edge of being a little bit naughty, especially
the one for Viagra. I thought it was a little naughty.
But Budweiser is a big national company. Yeah. They're not interested in, you know, getting any hate mail. Right. Has there been one that got nixed by Budweiser, or has there been anything you can remember where they said...
There's 123 that got nixed.
Is there really, is there a specific line or a specific thing where they said, fellas, we need to go back into the studio because we sent this out to St. Louis.
And you sincerely believe I'm going to say that out loud now.
No, there was that, I hate Canadians.
That was rejected.
I want to know how you guys are involved with Blades of Glory, the new Will Ferrell.
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah. Bud Light has got together with Paramount. And they said, what can we do to help promote the movie? Because, as you know, Bud Light is obviously into comedy. Mm-hmm. And so they said, well, the Real Men of Genius are touring. We're going all over the place. We do the NFL. We do Major League Baseball. And we write custom stuff when we go out on the road.
Ah.
And they said, we'll send them to L.A. and then talk up the movie. Because the movie's pretty funny.
It's good.
I've only seen little pieces of it. I haven't seen the whole thing yet.
Looks funny.
Speaking of custom stuff, can you guys give us a little ditty?
Yeah.
Little
well, we're gonna, we wrote something for you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And because we care.
Oh, this is
no, really.
Hold on a second. Let me really...
Take this in, you know?
Let me drink this in. Because you know you've arrived.
This is one of those moments. Don't let it just pass by.
All right. I'm digging in. Here we go.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, the completely popular Adam Carolla Show.
The completely popular Adam Carolla Show.
Adam Carolla, boxer, builder, Brillo head. It's pure American genius to get paid to complain.
What's wrong with that?
Danny Bonaduce, just what you need. Some genius to mention the Partridge Family again. So, we won't.
Please don't hurt me.
Teresa Strasser, after dealing with LA News all morning, we all deserve a good sobbing, wailing, snorting cry.
I need my space.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light and toast Sister Teresa, Devil Dan, and Angel Adam. They're not complaining. They're just explaining.
Loving them doesn't take a genius.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Nice.
Well done.
A 9 out of 10.
There you
gonna switch Teresa's snorting with my snorting? Then I think it had.
Then we had it. Well, yeah.
It would have been perfect.
Wow. That is, you know, a lot of people do that thing where they go, you know, other than the birth of my kids, this is the best day of my life. But I'm putting this ahead. of the birth of my children.
I'm honored.
Really?
Honored.
That was just sort of a formality before we took them home, and then the real job of parenting started. This has been the greatest day of my life.
Yeah.
So you guys are going to be down at the Laker game tonight?
No, the Kings.
Oh, the Kings game.
They're going to do the Kings game. Blades of Glory, Ice, Kings.
Got it.
Ah, you know what it says? Okay. It says L.A. Kings, but the way it's written, it just sort of Lakings is what it looks like.
Hey, Mr. Patronizing my boss man.
What? No. Mr. Sucking up to the boss man.
Well, this would be a horrible drinking game. Yes, Mr. Sucking up to the boss game. Hey, yes.
Now, do you get a ton of people going, please leave an outgoing message on my phone machine?
Never. That's never happened. That's wild you would bring that up.
Well, you know, I don't want to put you on the spot, Pete, as yes, I like sir. To call you, but... Whenever we get someone who can do nice voiceover work in this, I always ask them to do this, which is, I always thought it would be funny, you know, and I guess you do a bunch of TV stuff, you know, where they go, this week on Hack. You ever do that?
Yeah.
You do that
I've done some stuff, yeah. For Comedy Central, I do a lot of stuff.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right.
Reno 911. Coming up next on Comedy Central.
Did you ever introduce the Man Show on Comedy Central?
No, I didn't get to do that. I said Adam's name a while ago though.
Really?
Remember out loud, I remember something.
Well,
something.
We all did.
Yeah.
Well, were we making love or was it just something?
No. I said not yell.
Say my name.
What with you? He says my name.
Pete, I just need you to say my name right now.
Well, maybe it was for a roast or something like that.
Yeah,
but anyway,
I think it was. Yeah.
Let's not digress. What I wanted to say was every time we get a decent voiceover guy in here, I try to pull this gag, which is I always wanted the guy to go, you know, they do that. I grew up in the 70s watching those shows where they'd go like this week on Vegas in order to catch a jewel thief. Dan is going to have to become a jewel thief. But I always just want to replace it with rapist. You see, it's this week on Hack. In order to catch...
I thought you were going to say this week on Rapist.
No.
It's worse.
It goes like
or
this.
Or better.
This week on Hack, in order to catch an international jewel thief, Hack is going to have to become a rapist. See, it's funny. Let's try one.
It zigs where you think it's going to zag.
That's right.
This week on Hack, in order to become an international jewel thief, Hack is going to have to become a rapist.
Perfect, except for it's to catch an international jewel thief.
It was so good.
One more try. We'll recue the tape.
Could you beat up Don LaFontaine?
One man against the planet alone.
Okay. All right, here we go. Take two.
This week on Hack, in order to catch an international jewel thief, Hack is going to have to become a rapist.
There, perfect.
Wow.
And you see, it just keeps going into... It just keeps spinning off. Yeah, you think he's going to have to become a jewel thief, but no. So, Real Men of Genius tonight, going to be at the Staples Center with the L.A. Kings. Now, what will you do when you go out to Center Ice?
Well, we're going to do a couple of bits. We've written some things for L.A. We've done some stuff for Chaz Michaels was a... And that's like a promo piece.
Can I bet $50 that the word Zamboni gets used?
You lose.
Mm. Wow.
I said, can I? He didn't say yes. I've made all my bets in this room.
Because I'm so in love with the Real Men of Genius concept as a whole, can we hear what you're going to do tonight at the Kings game?
Yeah, we got a couple of things. Sure. We'll do two things.
Give us the funny one.
Okay. Well, this is
the
one we're supposed to do.
Let's do the one that's not funny.
Here's the one we're supposed to do.
All right.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Chaz Michael Michaels.
Mr. Chaz Michael Michaels.
You made it okay for every man in America to slap on a skin-tight unitard and leap through the air with reckless abandon.
We can fly.
Being a professional figure skater doesn't necessarily mean you stink at football, basketball, or every other sport.
Yes, it does.
Skate perfectly and you're a crowd pleaser.
slip and slam your ego into the ice, and you're still a crowd pleaser.
I learned something.
So here's to you, Chaz Michael Michaels. You may never wear a medal, but sequins are shiny too.
Just like your blades of glory.
Will Ferrell is Chaz Michael Michaels in Blades of Glory in theaters March 30th.
That is brilliant.
Because, God, you got your... nobody's usually as good live, especially when you're doing something kind of odd
they're
in a way.
They're even better than you'd imagine.
Remember when Gray White was in here and sang Led Zeppelin song, and they were fabulous?
Yeah.
That's what they practice all the time. This has got kind of weird tones and specific for a specific game or attitude. Right. You guys are really...
I keep thinking about when we're creative, everything is so much more palatable. It's like, I don't mind hearing the commercial for Budweiser or Blades of Glory or anything as long as I'm being entertained at the same time. It's like once in a while you got that good school teacher. Oh, yeah, Mr. Backus, he was funny, but we learned a lot about history, too.
Oh, yeah. As opposed, for me.
And, it took Madison Avenue so long to catch on to that because, you know, 20, 30 years ago, if some guy was going to talk up a movie over at the Kings game, it'd be like, hi, this is Herb Goldfarb. I'm an executive with Fox. Hey, we got a dandy of a picture coming out. Put your hands together. Will Ferrell, he's from Saturday Night Live. A lot of people know him as the cheerleader guy. And he's a fantastic, funny man. The movie's going to start. It's going to be this Friday. It's going to be a dandy, a whale of a movie. So come on out enjoy the game. God bless.
Wait, everybody, come back.
Your eyes, you start rolling your eyes. You're going, I'm going to go get a beer, and it's not going to be a Bud Light. I'm angry now. But when you do this, I don't care what it is. I'm listening. Well, give us your last one. Give us one more.
We'll do one on L.A. food.
Can I take one last chance? I'm redeeming myself.
Yeah.
What about that blind skating chick who falls over the roses at the end of that movie? She in there?
Huh?
No.
I know. You mean Ice Castles.
Oh, Ice Castles.
With Robbie Benson. Love that movie.
Well, Robbie. Ooh, my man. Oh, I still got his poster.
Yeah, I know. He was hot in that movie.
Did you yell his name out, too, Peter?
No, I don't. I whisper it.
Nice. All right, let's hear the last one.
Go.
Mm-mm. This is L.A. Food.
Yeah, just
Mr. Not Quite Honest Q Sound Guy.
All right. Uh-oh. Are you ready?
Mr. Hungry Nerd.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Los Angeles, California, alias L.A.
Los Angeles, California, alias L.A.
L.A., the world's largest theme park, filled with dinosaurs, cobras, snakes, cats, rats, and predators. And that's just Beverly Hills.
Kitty, catty.
L.A., dine on Moroccan, Russian, Asian, French, even Californian, like Cal-Asian and Cal-French.
Calories!
It would take you over 200 days to eat your way through the Korean restaurants alone.
My burning desire!
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light L.A. and eat macro, vegan, raw, incendiary, organic, art food, meat on meat, even cuisine.
I love to eat L.A.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Mazel tov. Beat Stacker, Dave Bickler, the real, real men of genius. You guys are doing the Lord's work. And I hope, listen, I hope this goes on for 100 years, but I assume you guys are in your 40s by now, and you should be training young understudies because I want this party to continue.
It will.
My son is going to turn 16 in a few years, and he's going to, 21. Yeah, well, I'll get him a fake ID, but the point is I want him to hear these commercials. Either that, or we're just going to have to bank thousands of them. So in case,
we got another 25 coming up. In a couple of weeks. Yeah.
By the way, I had a meeting the other day that Anheuser-Busch is coming back on the station to spend some real money and back us, and they love our show and stuff.
Yeah.
But I want to be the spokesman instead of Adam. Now Adam can talk about having a great drink and his beer with Kimmel at the party, but I want to say anybody can do that. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I'd saw off my arm. What do you think?
That's true. We'll take it under advisement.
Thank you. Well, that was a hell of a slogan. Why are you laughing about it?
Yeah, like, I take a swig off a beer, but then I don't hug it and yell, sweet medicine, I've missed you so.
I don't either. I finish it and hug anything living next to me and then say that.
That's the way I'm about Robbie Benson, so it's
replace hug with hump and you have your answer. All right, quick break, and from American Genius and Real Men of Genius to American Idol.
Yes.
Nice.
We are going to ramp and cap all about that. Why? Because 30 million one of you retards say we have to.
I enjoy it.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Be back with American Idol next on the Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show presents The Wisdom of Randy Jackson.
You got to be in it to win it, dog.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, that'll be $4 million. You got to be in it to win it, dog.
Raise up your game.
Hey, how's my dog pound doing?
He's got something new. The yo factor.
Oh, and they forget the words. Yo, if he can't sing it, wing it. Nice.
Well, like I've said many times, I can't stop watching the show because everyone else can't stop watching the show. And thus, if you don't watch the show, then you're left out of the conversation. Sure. I wonder.
Which is bad on a talk show.
It's bad on a talk show, but even socially it kind of blows. And I'm wondering what percentage these days of people watch these types of shows to be included in the conversation slash debate at the argument at the office when this thing breaks into an argument, which is, you know, like if you're watching, you know, Grey's Anatomy is a popular show, but you're not going to get me to watch Grey's Anatomy just so I can join in to the discussion with the Yentas who are watching Grey's Anatomy.
Right, because then you have to say McDreamy, and I'm not doing it.
But if you see American Idol or Dancing with the Stars or one of these other reality type contest type shows, it's almost like a sporting event.
Yeah, I was
you
just
feel thinking like
that.
You need to know who's in the playoffs and who may go to the Super Bowl. Otherwise, you're going to be standing in a puddle of your own drool with a wind-up beanie while everyone else has a cogent discussion about American Idol.
Cogent discussion about American Idol. That's
well, that's
nice.
What makes it fun. It's kind of like when the Olympics are on. You watch so that then you can talk to total strangers about what happened, you know, in figure skating.
I thought it was a big deal to get tickets to the Olympics once. You know what I saw? Sculling.
Wait a minute.
It's a winter Olympic sport. Rowing. It's like rowing.
It's rowing. It's a boat that sits about a half an inch above the water. I don't know how those little
board up Bill said it was something else.
Uh-oh.
That's why I originally got that look.
That kind of sculling.
He met a guy at Daddy's for some sculling.
You have to be missing an eye for that.
Oh, okay.
Well, shall we discuss American Idol as everyone else will?
Sure. I think we should, darling.
Sure.
Okay, so last night it was British Invasion night. Mm-hmm. They sang songs from the 60s. Mm-hmm. Hayley Scarnato, who at one point Simon... I believe so. At one point, Simon said he couldn't remember her. She didn't stick in his mind. Mm-hmm. Well, last night's outfit.
She got stuck in my craw last night. Forget about my mind.
Right into your craw.
I got an impacted craw full of that Hayley Scarnato.
That's weird. I had her between a rock and a hard place.
Well, she had the short shorts with the heels.
Yeah, she did.
That was a good look. Yeah, hell yeah.
Hell yeah, she did.
She's hella good.
She did look, yeah.
Here she is singing Tell Him, originally by the Exciters. She usually gets a hard time from the judges, but last night, here is what they had to say.
Well, I can intervene if you like.
No beautiful thing. Different side to you, Hayley. It was fun, young, a bit shrieky in the middle.
A little bit.
I think people are going to be talking about a lot more than your singing tonight.
She put on some tight shorts and some heels.
and bounced all over the stage without a bra, and then, it was fantastic looking.
What I liked best is when Simon McDonald pretended he was straight. I thought that was a cool part.
And it's funny when you hear the voice separated from the hot young buxom body that was bouncing around on the stage.
So
it sounded tinny, hollow, and horrible.
Bit pitchy. Awful.
Yes, it sounded horrible. I was delighted to watch it yesterday. And everyone does that thing where they go, it's a singing competition. It's an entertainment competition, and looks are a factor. I'm not sure if you guys have clued into this in the Western society we're living in, but what you look like has something to do with something. Britney Spears looked good, sounded
no pipes at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if she looked like one of these 300-pound black chicks, she better sing her ass off.
But on the other side, see, I agree with you completely that looks are a huge part of this. But the middle ground is who the middle class of looks who gets killed on this.
Right.
If you're gorgeous, big help. If you're 300-400 pounds and you have Louis Armstrong sweat rag in your hands,
right,
when you're hitting the notes, you can blot your face.
Mm-hmm.
They also look positively upon you. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, but you back it up with pipes if you look like
absolutely, like
Louis. Yeah, middle of the road. There's no better to be remembered for even something bad like being fat than not being remembered for anything.
Go to a Black Baptist church and these are some big women with some big ass pipes.
Well, there's an algorithm where you put in one quotient for looks and one for talent, and in the end, it has to equal over a certain number for you to be accepted.
Well, Haley looked fantastic last night, but as we learned from a few moments ago, didn't sound that great.
You know who sounded good? Jordan Sparks. She's the 17-year-old. She straightened her hair, and
Hold on. How old is Haley Scarnato? Because
she's in her early 20s, I think.
Okay. We're cool.
Why?
I mean, just move on.
No.
Move on.
That's a reason. You know, I wanted to bring that up the other day. At what point, just because 18 is legal, when Britney Spears was 17, I made a comment because I didn't know she was 17, I got in trouble. At what age, if they look a certain way, can you say, well, that chick's hot? Is it 18? Because before that, no matter how adult they look, are you just a pedophile for thinking, wow, a hot chick?
Well,
because she was 15 in that schoolgirl outfit, and I thought she was great looking.
To me, the ID and the calendar goes out the window the moment they start trying to arouse you.
Yes,
it's
that was
like,
very sexual.
Look, I don't, my junk doesn't check your ID. All I can tell you is that schoolgirl's blouse is tied in a knot, and I'm getting excited, and if you didn't want me to get excited, perhaps you shouldn't have had your daughter prance around in a fashion that was meant to get guys excited.
Does that drive you crazy then about like the JonBenet thing?
You mean that she was
dressed up? She was dressed up, in my opinion, as a sexual object, as a sexual human being at four or something.
Well, you know what?
That's an opinion, not a desire. No, I'm not trying to make any kind of joke. I'm dead serious. They had her made up to be sexually appealing, in my opinion.
You know what it is to me at that age, at least before puberty, it is, which is coming earlier and earlier these days.
Yes, it is.
But
in my house,
you dress.
I'm this close.
In my, not yourself.
No, in puberty, I'm this close. My daughter kicked my ass last week.
The idea of JonBenet to me is moms dress up their little girls like that, like they're dolls.
Right.
It's not dolls to have sex with, but dolls to look at.
Yeah, it's a reflection on them.
Right. All right.
Now, by the way, Haley is 24.
Yeah.
So you're fine.
Hold on. Too old now, you cut into it.
Sorry.
You ruin it.
Now, if your junk was going to check the ID of Jordan Sparks, because I know your junk doesn't check IDs, but if we're going to, it would say 17, too young.
Oh, but it'd be a great nightclub.
Yeah.
Where I stood out front in a black blazer. And I mean, ID,
flashlight.
ID, buddy. Oh, it's not a flashlight. You see that? You know, they always hold it down. And same move.
Well, she's saying, I Who Have Nothing, originally by Shirley Bassey.
Mm-hmm.
And the judges
were...
Bassey, thank you. The judges...
I would have said Bassey too.
Shirley Bassey.
I'd have gotten that wrong.
The judges were very impressed, and here is Jordan Sparks, only 17. They should just call this the Lakeisha and Melinda show, but suddenly it seems like Jordan is overtaking Lakeisha. I think Jordan is now looking like she's a real contender.
Yeah, she did a great job last night.
No, she's saying she looks like one of the contenders from that.
Oh, she's been punching.
She's a very pretty girl.
Both
Jordan is a very pretty girl.
Over her face.
Yeah.
Sanjaya is also very pretty.
He's a pretty girl, too.
He's a very pretty girl. And he sang a song by the Kinks. It was unexpectedly rocking. He sang, "You Really Got Me." And there was a preteen girl in the audience who was sobbing. Did you see this girl?
Yes.
There's a lot of that, though.
Yes, there was. She was 11
She's
or 12.
She's going to be crying a lot more when she finds out that Sanjaya is not interested in likes of her.
You know what? By that time, she won't care. It's something weird. You've seen it in the Beanomania movies 1,000 times where they just weep. I don't really understand the motivation for it. What it is, because it looks like sadness. It doesn't look like, oh, my God, I'm so happy to see this person.
She was overwhelmed, it looked like. Let's take a listen to Sanjaya Malakar.
Yeah, they swoon.
Yeah, she was swooning, exactly.
I dig chicks that swoon.
He was singing, it was singing, "He Really Got Me."
Girl, you really got me now. You got me so I don't know what I'm doing. Girl, you really got me now. You got me so I can't sleep at night.
He has a very weak voice. And most people agree that he has the weakest voice left in the competition, but he's young, and a lot of youngsters vote, so the young kids tend to stay in the competition longer.
Right, yeah, then you start thinking about it. Who do you know, what a self-respecting adult is going for the telephone and calling... Oh. Teresa.
I only do the final four. I only vote when it gets down to four. If I don't vote,
what?
Who will? It's like any election.
What do you mean, 30 million other spazzes?
Yeah, but they might vote for Sanjaya. I can't have that.
I take this in the spirit in which it's intended, but someone in this room needs some sexing. Because
it's been a year.
You need to be sexed down, baby. Not
really?
Just a sexing thrown on you, but a sexing down. Sex
How does
down.
That work?
In all honesty,
Mr. You want me to show you? Danny, show you.
I did.
You just pawned Danny off on me.
I'll do you right now on this desk, baby.
And your voting days will be over.
With the girl.
My last vote.
You won't be picking up you'll be picking up the bone phone. That's right. Bonaducci.
I did.
Clean up aisle me.
I did that water cooler show with her.
Yeah,
she's worse there, and I don't mean talent-wise. I mean personality-wise and insecurity-wise. She's worse there than here. All she does all day is put herself down. And there were guys hitting on her. That Mexican dude, and I call him that Mexican dude because that's what he called
manager,
himself.
Stage manager, Rafael.
Was begging for it. And after a while, I yelled at her enough times that I finally said, "I am done with you. I don't want to talk to you anymore."
You're leaving out the nice part.
I said, don't talk to me anymore.
Danny said, just no more talk. Yeah, no, Danny did say something really nice because he co-hosted the TV Guide show with me. And he said, he said, you're doing a really good job. And I think I just rolled my eyes and said, not really. And then he yelled at me.
I did. I said, you know who's outside begging for your gig right now? The waitress who is more talented than both of us.
Hold on.
But we got the friggin' job. So why don't you just say thanks? I must do it well. And let's move on.
I think we have a clip of Danny.
Yelling at me?
On
it was recorded.
TV water cooler.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. We pulled this clip.
That's him talking about Grey's Anatomy.
Right. I think you start talking about Regis and Kathy
right,
Lee.
Yeah.
See, Teresa, you would have been on this tape, too, remember? We took it right off the air. Go, baby.
So, Danny, what did you think of the premiere of Dancing with the Stars? I know you didn't watch it, but you had to have seen Trump and Vince McMahon. I know you don't like wrestling, but is Regis going to come back from his heart surgery?
Right.
You don't think he is?
One more. Right off a TV water cooler, everybody.
Mondays at 8 o'clock on the TV Guide channel. Are we all done with Idol?
Well, yeah. Let me just say that Sanjaya, see, he did, and so did Haley. They did what they needed to do, which is get into a tight-fitting outfit, dance around on the stage. If you're... Look, it's... I'm going to win Bonaducci back with this one. If you
we'll
don't...
See.
If you're not a knockout artist, if you don't have a big right hand,
yeah,
and you want to win the fight, then you get on your bicycle and you stick and move. You realize, and everyone should do this in life, you should say, what are my strengths and what are my weaknesses? I don't have a Widowmaker for a right hand. Right. I'm not going to go trade with this guy. What I am going to do is I'm quick. I have speed. I'm going to use whatever I have to win this fight. And they finally did that.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't trade punches with one of these massive black women with incredible God-given pipes.
No,
you're
going
to get knocked out in the first round. That's Mike Tyson. You got to get on your bike and move. And what they both did is they did a lot of sticking and moving last night. And they may have pulled it out on points. They're never going to win on a knockout, but the judges may give them the fight on points.
Well, yeah, Mr. Grohl
did win me back with that analogy, but it doesn't apply to me personally. Because to get on your bicycle means move around for 3 minutes at a time.
I think what he's saying is,
I'm just saying that my bicycle has two flat tires and I'm a double amputee.
And an ashtray duct tape.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm standing right there until somebody falls
down. But you played your strengths.
But I get the game, yes.
Well, that if your strength is as a knockout artist, then, you know, the 300-pound black mama shouldn't get in tight spandex and bounce around the stage. They should just stand there, put the mic on the stand, and bellow, baby.
That's right. Like Melinda did, but we'll hear her in the 9 o'clock news.
We'll take a quick break. Oh, good news. Robert Schimmel.
Ah.
One of my
favorite comedians because he has no problem talking ass about his own family.
Yeah.
And other problems that man has.
Yeah, and there's not too many guys who can come in here and, you know, make you look like Bill Cosby when it comes to your family. But the old Bill Cosby.
Right.
The guy used to wear the sweaters from the show.
Sure.
Yeah, but Schimmel can, and he always brings food, too, which is another thing I like about him. So, Robert Schimmel next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaduce.
I was hosting the Adult Video Awards in Las Vegas at Caesars Palace. They have, like, best female and a gangbang thing, and this girl was up there crying, going, I'd like to thank my husband who stood behind me. Yeah, stood? Is that what he was doing, standing? I'd like to thank my husband who wheeled my uterus home in a hand truck.
Now, comedian Robert Schimmel is on The Adam Carolla Show.
My favorite part of the porn is the credits when even the guys who work behind the scenes, the grips and the sound guy and stuff, it'll say, like, key grip, Harry Choda. You have to make a porn name up for the guy who was... How about you just take no credit, because otherwise... There's people going, have you worked with Harry Choda? He's one of the best grips in the business. Robert Schimmel, one of our favorite comedians.
Robert and I have known each other 20 years.
At least
20 years now.
20
Always
years.
One of the funniest men I've ever worked with.
How did you guys meet? Did you meet during the radio?
Was it radio in Chicago?
Yeah. It was radio in Chicago, and then I was with you in Disney World.
There's an act you want to see. Bonaduce and Schimmel at Disney World.
And then the MGM, when they had the amusement park there, he did a live show out there, and it was all kids. And he was just sitting there going, I can't wait to see what you're going to do. And
he did. Yeah. It looked like, have you ever seen like a wind tunnel experiment where they push that guy in that sled at 1,000 miles an hour and his face blows back? Mm-hmm. That's what all those children looked like.
Would you talk about cancer for 2 hours?
Oh, no, I was okay
nothing.
Then.
Oh, you're all right.
No,
oh, that
I was
back,
okay then.
That was pre-cancer.
Yeah.
What about hooking up with your daughter's friends? Kids love that.
Yeah.
What about hooking up with their moms? He didn't do a bit. Schimmel's one of the very few comics, and then I would be happy to let you speak for yourself, that is so funny. He doesn't need to come in radio stations and go and do his bits that then he either can't do later or he knows you like him, so he'll do them again. He just comes in and rocks the house, and that's what he did at MGM and frightened everybody.
Well... Now you put the bar so high.
You know what? I'm not even scared for him.
I'm used to failing.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, how is the wife and kids?
The wife and kids are great.
Now, if people don't know, you married...
Your
daughter's best friend. Your daughter has issues with it.
Yeah.
But she seems like she's gotten over most of them, right?
Most of them, but it's still, you know, she was over for dinner last night, and she said, here's the problem. That Melissa was my best friend, and, you know... It's hard confiding in your friend when you know that your friend's sleeping with your dad. So she can't really tell her everything anymore because she's afraid that Melissa's going to tell me everything.
And Melissa's how old?
She's 32.
And how old are you, if I might be so rude as that?
57.
and your daughter is
28.
See, aside from the daughter part, it doesn't sound that bad. Age-wise, it's cool with me.
No, but see, I only met her when she was 25. Yeah. It makes it sound like I met her, you know, when they were like 9 years old together. For like, I watched you grow up and say, hey, 3 more years and we can, you know.
Like, hey, baby, why don't you remove that giant lollipop? I got something for you.
Take out your binky.
Then I feel your daughter's pain totally. One of the big bosses of this show is a guy named Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
He's also the host's best friend. And he has a tendency to call me at home and say, what do you think would improve the show? Now, my natural instinct is, fire that Corolla guy. But you just really can't say that.
Hold on. Jimmy calls you at home?
No.
I didn't think so.
I did. He emailed me twice.
But he does fire off snarky emails.
He's got a bunch.
I got 3 yesterday alone.
I did a show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And Jessica went with me, my 28-year-old. Ryan Felipe was one of the guests on the show. And she said, cute. Oh, God, I want to meet him. So we get there, and, you know, I'm in a dressing room. Then they have the green room where all your friends hang out. And then he's in another dressing room on the other side of the stage.
Ryan is.
Yeah. And he's not out there anywhere. And, you know, I said, why don't you stay in the green room and you'll meet him, you know, and just say hi. She said, Dad, I'm not, that's like being a stalker. I'm not going to do that. So she's sitting in my dressing room, and there's a knock at the door. It's one of the producers, and he goes, hey, Jimmy's really happy you're doing the show, and I got to ask you a favor. He said, Ryan Felipe is a huge fan of yours, and he wants to know if he can come in and say hello before the show. Well, my kid couldn't talk. And I was just telling him out there, you know, when I was waiting to come in, you know, in this business, you can achieve, like, anything.
Right.
And your family and your friends never see you the way your fans do. And they're the only ones that really... That would really make your day is if your mom said, you know what, we can't believe you're our son. But it's not, well, they have, but not in a good way. And,
so what you're saying is Ryan Felipe is a huge fan of yours.
Yes, he comes in, shakes my hand, gives me his phone number, his email. He goes, let's get out, hang out together.
And you Jessica's, give him $100 and he's on his way. Yeah.
So your daughter must have been looking at you like, my dad's a god.
Yeah, but did she? Did she go, you're a god for because he liked you?
Much more than any of the other things you've done, right?
Yes. I was in Italy my one time there with my wife, and she saw Morrissey. Now, I would not know Morrissey from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes, I think that guy's Morrissey. So I work up the nuts, and I go over the table. There's 3 of them. I go, excuse me. Is anybody here at this table named Morrissey? And this kind of English puff guy goes, yes, I'm Morrissey. And he acts all cool and all aloof and all bitching. Mm-hmm. And then his manager goes, I'm going to tell him.
You almost hear it.
He goes, I'm going to tell him. And he goes, don't tell him. He goes, I'm going to tell him. Morrissey called his manager yesterday to say he had seen Danny Bonaducci at the hotel in Rome.
Wow.
And he was acting like he didn't give a rat's ass and didn't know who I was.
That sounds like code for some sort of CIA special ops. I've seen Bonaducci at the hotel.
He actually said in a carriage. He's on that carriage with my wife.
In a carriage in Rome. And it's like, Delta Team, move out!
It seems like it was
Bonaducci
like,
in a carriage in Rome!
Like your thing now with your own kid, though, but with my wife, though, you think she'd have broken out the, wow, Morrissey likes you better than I like Morrissey sex. None of that. Your kid should have been doing backflips if that guy was your fan.
Yeah, well.
No backflips.
Maybe for him she would have, but.
It is, yeah, if you ever do go out with the family, especially the older, the grandparents, the parents, and some guy will start talking to you and wanting to take a picture or something, they still do that. How do you know that guy? Did you go to high school? That guy playing your little league team? It's like, I'm on TV.
Yeah,
they never get it.
You guys don't
how
have,
would I know
you guys
that?
Don't have cable. I understand, but there are other Americans that enjoy your son's work.
Yeah, it's the greatest.
Well, comedian Robert Schimmel, great comedian, is going to be at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco tomorrow through Sunday. And because you're a comedian, because you're so candid, can we ask you what you make of the whole situation between Carlos Mencia, who's been accused of stealing jokes, and Joe Rogan? Do you know that? Do you have an opinion?
This is a good tease right here because we need to take a break.
Boy.
We're running late anyway.
I had a better one. I was going to say, I heard he stole one of your nuts. Didn't he steal one of your testicles during the surgery? That's what I heard. But anyway.
Robert Schimmel will be back to...
I assume you have an opinion.
Yes.
You guys.
Doesn't everybody.
He will weigh in on the whole Mencia Rogan debacle. As a comedian, a guy who's out on the circuit, I'm sure you're... inundated with this stuff on a daily basis.
Yes.
But we'll hear from someone who has an insider view, Robert Schimmel, and we'll talk about other things as well next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo.
Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
Now go home and get you f***ing cyborg.
If you said Goodfellas...
Now go home and get your f***ing shine box.
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, a man who cheated death and cheated on his wife, Robert Schimmel.
Wow.
Well said.
Welcome, everyone. Robert Schimmel.
Cobbs. I guess separated at birth, Danny Bonigi and Robert Schimmel.
Cobbs Comedy Club, San Francisco, tomorrow. That would be Thursday through Sunday. Again, a great comedian.
And that's where I recorded my first two CDs, actually, for Warner Brothers. Was that Cobbs Comedy Club, yeah?
And because that's always a good home for you, I mean, you must want to pick sort of the place you feel the most comfortable at if you're going to do a live comedy CD.
Yeah, and I liked the audiences there. I mean, I do everywhere, but there and the guy that ran the club, Tom Sawyer, who's still there, is a... really, really nice to me and did every accommodation to make it, like, work perfect.
What,
and it was great.
What year was that? Because I'm trying to think if it was the one I listened to on the way out to Orlando to do a pilot with John Ritter in
1998.
Must have been 98.
Yeah.
Was it, if you buy this CD, I can get this car?
No, it was Robert Schimmel Comes Clean.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Did it have the stuff?
That would make my wife
did it
happy.
Have the stuff on the orca whale on Shamu? Was
yeah.
it Shamu airplane stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny because I got the CD from my producer, and they said, hey, this guy Robert Schimmel wants to come on Loveline. And I said, who's Robert Schimmel? And they said, well, he's a comedian. Here's his. And they said, Ryan Felipe knows who Robert Schimmel is. And I said, who's Ryan Felipe? And they said, son, what year are you living in? And then I saw a smoking time machine in the background, but always steam coming off the time. And never, never a good sign for something that's going to transport you in time. There's a fire in it. But anyway, I got on the airplane. I sat next to the late, great John Ritter.
Yeah.
And we were going out to Orlando to shoot a pilot. And I popped the CD in, and I thought, wow, this guy's funny. And then he did 20 minutes on airplanes crashing while I was 30,000 feet in the air. And I
Perfect.
Thought, let's hope he's not prophetic. He's just funny. So Schimmel, and I fell in love with him, and I came back, and I said, we must have
by the way,
Schimmel on.
If you listen to the tape of the airplanes crashing while you were in airplanes, and I hope he's, you know, not prophetic. He's not. he's never picked the right outcome for his own life.
Well, it's true.
That's not true. He's got two beautiful
yes.
kids.
Right,
a beautiful
but
did
he get up on stage one day and go, you know, next year when I get cancer. Nope, he didn't do that. Just shocked him one morning.
Yeah, what cancer did you have, Robert?
Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
And you got what was the chances you were not going to be with us? Did everyone ever break it down?
Oh, yeah.
50-50
they said that,
or whatever?
Well, I was too late for... too late for radiation. I could only get chemo, and they said if it didn't work, or if I hadn't come in, I had 6 months or less.
Mm-hmm.
And that if it did work, I had a 49% chance of going 2 years without a reoccurrence, and there was like a 50% chance of going 5 years.
Wow, you cheated death.
And that was 6 years ago, December 12th, that I hit remission. I was diagnosed on June 5th, 2000.
And
I was around when this happened.
Yeah.
And by the way, I mean, you never disappoint. I don't know how sick you were from chemo because I didn't know that much about it then and how sick it can make you. But you looked like a very, very, very sick man, and you did not disappoint your audience. Well, you went out there, and you were funnier for looking frail and sick and doing jokes about being frail and sick. You were, you know, you're just a man's man and a brilliant comic.
Thank you. Well, I had to talk about it. You know, I was in Vegas the first time after chemo, and my agent said, what are you going to talk about? And I said, I'm going to talk about what I'm going through. And he said, you're going to open with that? And I said, well, look at me. I mean, what am I going to talk about? Let's talk about some flying, and they're going to go, what happened to this guy? So
right.
I just talked about it. And
should have been like Carrot Top and opened your trunk and pulled out like a
well, you know what's really weird? Yeah, I saw Carlos Mencia do 20 minutes on his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh, boy.
Yes, now we're back to the Mencia-Rogan showdown.
I
like
kidding,
talking about my cancer better.
I'm kidding, of course. I don't know if he's a thief, but since you're close to the, obviously, the comedy world, what are your thoughts?
Well, who are the famous thieves? You hear about Robin Williams. Who else? Who are the other guys that the comedians may know about that we may not know about? Who had the reputation? Maybe even old school, the Bob Hopes or whoever.
I don't know. I don't know. Milton Berle, maybe.
Milton Berle on that terrible
reputation.
Have you ever had anyone rip your stuff off? You ever watch any other comedians and go, wait a minute.
I've had people do some stuff that are similar, but then there are things that, you know, that some people come up with the same premise at the same time. And that's why I think this whole thing is completely blown up, like, way out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you know, first for the big claim to be that that his name is not really his name.
Right.
You know, I was having lunch with Larry the Cable Guy and Carrot Top and,
and Elton John.
And they said they couldn't believe that somebody would do something like that. Tony Curtis isn't even his real name, and Rodney Dangerfield wasn't even Rodney Dangerfield. His name was Joseph Levine. And
then don't get me started on Engelbert Humperdinck.
Woody Allen is not Woody Allen's real name.
So that means nothing. And, you know, to me, to have somebody say, well, you know, someone else came up with a joke about building, who's going to build the wall between Mexico and America. Well, if you go by that theory, then that means one person wrote the original Lorena Bobbitt joke and everybody else ripped them off. You mean there weren't like 40 comics that night that happened, all talking about it at the same time without ever seeing each other?
I basically said this, when it's regards to who's going to build the wall between Mexico and the United States, Mexicans, that joke, that's like if you put a big billboard that's a jumbo shrimp on it, every third minivan that passed it, the dad would go, jumbo shrimp. I think that's an oxymoron. He would laugh. It's not like he's ripping off the other guy in the other minivan.
No, that's like a given thing. I mean, somebody completely not in show business could come up with that.
I've been laughing for 20 years on the Ventura Freeway where it breaks off to the Hollywood Freeway. There's a big sign that says Braille Institute, next exit.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. 20 years. Who's that sign
for? You know, my latest revelation was that Joey Fatone, his name is spelled Fat One, and he was the Fat One. Now, how many people do you think saw Fatone, spelled Fat One, saw that he was the Fat One in the group and thought they'd made up a Fat One?
Joey Fat One.
Joey Fat One. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. Well, it's yours and half the other people who can read and have brain cells to rub together. Right.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this. I've worked with...
With
Mr. Mencia a few times.
Rob Rogan clean.
Yeah. I got nothing against either one of them, and they both are funny in their own right. And you know, it's I've only worked with Mencia a few times. All of them have been charity events. I've never seen him do anybody else's material. If he does, I'm not around to see it. But then again, I wouldn't know which bits Robin Williams was doing that. They're saying that he took...
So you're saying you have almost no insight on this issue.
Well, no, I just don't believe it.
I disagree. Okay. I was going to say he has no interest in this particular issue.
I think it's a big thing about absolutely nothing.
Well, then Joe Rogan's a genius because he's gotten so much publicity for himself taking on Carlos Mencia, yes?
Well, it would mean I like Joe and he's a great guy.
But genius.
But you know what? It would mean a lot more to me if he would be saying that Carlos took... something of his, but he's not saying that, and he didn't take anything of Rogan, so why is he on him so
much? Maybe that's a more noble cause. Maybe if you're saying this guy ripped me off, then you're just being petty and insecure. But if you're saying he's been ripping off all these other comedians and I'm going to champion their cause, maybe it's a more noble cause in Rogan's mind.
Wow. Maybe he should be up for the Horatio Alger Award.
I was thinking Nobel Peace Prize.
Himself for everyone else. Well, who are these everyone else's?
Well,
they can't talk for themselves.
You know, comedians, they're so shy. Yeah. They never stand up. Yeah. They never want to take a stand or speak. They're not good in front of groups. They don't like to speak in public in front of groups. I don't know. I'm split because on one hand, I think... Well, if the guy believes in a cause, he's standing up for it. God bless him. That's Rogan. On the other hand, it's like, look, buddy, you have two TV shows and a stand-up career and whatever. Just go do your Taekwondo and do your WrestleMania and do your Fear Factor. Make your money and have your sex and enjoy yourself. Why is this becoming your cause?
Well, plus, I think that if you go after somebody else that's stealing material and they're not on television, you don't really get much publicity. It just happens to be a coincidence that you're going after somebody that's got a big show on Comedy Central.
Rogan can be a bit of a hothead. I was doing something one night and he walked in And I said, oh, I always thought that was Joe Rogan. And then that spotlight hit the back of his head. It's Joe Rogan.
And there's another joke that everyone would have done.
And then everybody could have done it and said they stole it. And he doesn't have a bald spot, by the way. I just said it just to say it.
He was in here. But he was a perfectly nice man.
He's a great guy. But you make him mad and you got to deal with him.
Yeah, but, you know, but I know both of them, and I've never seen Mencia do anything like that. I've seen him do nothing but be charitable and nice to everybody. Everybody I know that he runs into says that he's the same guy he was before any of this happened. He doesn't act like he's any bigger.
But he's a
hardworking guy.
All right, well, screw those guys. Let's talk about your screwed up family.
Yeah,
let's.
Your ex-wife, she talking to you? She's still angry?
Yeah, she's still angry. Yeah, no, we made up.
I boned our kid's best friend. We're pals now. We double date.
Well, you were in the throes of cancer. Maybe you just recovered from it at that time.
No, are you kidding? I got diagnosed when we were already separated and filed for divorce. So then I was living with Melissa, who's now my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get diagnosed with cancer. So then since I think I'm not going to make it, I go back and beg my ex-wife to let me move back into the house so that I can be around the kids in case
can die with your family,
with my children, at least let them spend time with me. And I never even told Melissa I had cancer. I just said, you know what, go find somebody else. And and you know what, it's a funny thing, but when you tell girls to go find somebody else, they really, that's the only time they really listen to you. Right away they find somebody like they already had someone.
Could you please stop having sex with that guy for a second? I have something to say. Yeah. Find somebody else.
But Robert Schimmel, do you think there was a moment, because you left your wife for your daughter's friend and then you got cancer, that your wife was a little bit happy that you had gotten cancer?
She did say once that that's what you get for cheating. And I said, you know, you should really give that theory to the Mayo Clinic, because I don't think that's one of the things they talk about over there.
Right.
One of the causes of cancer.
I'm home on chemotherapy, really sick. I remember once I couldn't get off the toilet. I was so weak.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell on the floor. And I said, please help me get to my bed. And she came in and said, where's your girlfriend now? And I said, well, you're not going to let her come over. And she said, you're laying in your own vomit while she's probably, you know, dealing somebody in L.A. And I said, no, she's not, because she's not a morning person. And she said, don't defend her. And it really just gets bad.
It
sounds different from coming from that perspective, because me lying on the floor covered in my own vomit is Tuesday at the Bon Energy House for the last 13 years.
So let me put this in perspective. You are married to your sister's best friend.
My daughter's.
Your daughter's best friend. And
he's 28.
Yeah, sister, that'd be six. She'd be your age. You break up. Kind of sick after you think Schimmel is.
Yeah.
The point is you are divorced.
Really?
You say, we're going to break up. I'm moving back home. Your ex-wife obviously is angry at you, but sees that you may be dying and has enough humanity to let you back in the house. How long do you spend in the house? And did you think that you were being struck down by God?
No.
No.
No,
the whole cancer thing doesn't feel cosmic at all.
It didn't coincide with that.
No, it didn't. And you know what? They say timing's everything in this business. And at that particular time, I had the record deal with Warner Brothers. I shot my HBO special. I shot a pilot for Fox that got picked up for 13 episodes. They announced it in May in New York. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And 8 days later is when I got diagnosed.
And you don't think God threw in a monkey wrench on you at all?
Absolutely not.
Because I remember the biggest trouble I ever got, I did, in fact, cheat on my wife one time 6 years ago. It's terrible. Sorry, it's a long gone story. But
well, one got, with one person.
Multiple
humpings. One sex in?
No, the girl was an affair. I had an affair with a girl.
Oh, that's an affair. This is cheating.
Got it.
I did that a couple times.
Oh, he made the
motion. Didn't actually have sex with anybody.
Ah. Okay, so, but just for clarity, there's cheating and then there's an affair. Two different women.
You know, there's sex in the parking lot with a fan whose name you don't know.
That's cheating on your wife.
No.
That's boosting your career.
That's masturbation using another person.
That's Wednesday.
Okay.
Holding hands and taking a walk in the moonlight. That's cheating. A kiss on the mouth, a love letter.
That's an affair.
Oh, where's the affair?
That's an affair. I'm sorry, that's an affair.
Moonlight's the affair, the back seat's the cheat.
Yeah, you don't know the girl's name, it's just some girl you met in a bar.
But
that's not
I'm going to make sure there's two women you've had sex with.
But how many, one affair, but how many cheats?
Do you consider above the waist cheating?
Yes.
Wow.
Maybe three.
I'll be at Cobbs this weekend, by the way. So,
above
the waist, geez.
That had something to do with what you were saying. Man, I forgot what the hell it was.
Come on, can your penis get above your waist?
In Danny's case.
I was saying, so the only real trouble I've ever gotten into, because I confess this was years and years and years ago, but then we got on MySpace, and I started writing these chicks, and my wife could see him. It was right there.
Yeah, that's how I got caught.
She goes, that's cheating. I said, it's not cheating. She says, the same as cheating. I said, no, from cheating, you get an STD. From typing, you get carpal tunnel syndrome. Okay? Right. I'm not cheating.
Ron Jeremy told me once that...
I like the way the sentence starts.
Yes.
No, he said that, you know what? He said, if I had a girlfriend and, you know, she had sex with another guy, he said, that wouldn't bother me as much as if I found out that she kissed the guy on the lips.
Yes.
He said, that would really just kill me.
Oh, I almost just said, I'm with
Ron
Jeremy.
Do you agree with that, Robert?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? They have a weird thing. I did host the Adult Film Awards there, and, you know, you meet women that say, you know, I want to thank my husband, and you're like, what? And in the movies, they go, you know, guys do this to me, they do that, they do this, they do that, but this is the only guy I kiss on the lips.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, lucky you, huh?
Yeah.
So
lucky him. So your wife scrapes you off the floor of the bathroom in a pile of your own sick, and you convalesce back at your original house, or your ex-wife, I should say, scrapes you up. You're there for how long? What is the time period?
About 7 months.
7 months, and eventually when you can get back on your feet and hump again,
you leave her again.
You're out of the house.
Well, I wasn't humping then, and my oncologist actually told me that if I wanted to have any chance of making it, to get out of there, because I was constantly getting, you know, there's no such thing as starting all over with her. It's everything, you do something wrong. I put a sock in the wrong drawer, and it's, like with her, when you did it, just forget it. You can't
you
get
can
away
kind of understand
it.
That, though.
It's not dying of cancer.
But they cheated.
Even still, if it's years later, if my wife and I are in a fight and it's this fight, 2 + 2 = 4, and she says, no, 2 + 2 = 5, and we go and we go and we go, and finally I'll go, no, it equals 4, and she'll go, you cheated, shut up.
Here's how I got caught on the internet.
Yeah.
My daughter's friend, actually your husband was a fan of mine, and she was going through a bad divorce, and he said, hey, you want to say hi to Melissa? And I'm online with her, and I just had my spleen removed, and not by my ex, but I really didn't have it
done. You don't really need that.
And I was on pain medication at home, and we're instant messaging each other on AOL, and I conked out, because I was on Demerol, and my ex, who was my wife then, comes into the room, sees the screen, and takes over the conversation, pretending that she's me.
No.
Oh, my God.
Genius.
And, diabolical.
And so she's going, hey, you know, do you feel the same way I feel about you? And Melissa's going, yeah. And she goes, what about, you know, your husband? No, you're the guy, and, you know, this whole thing. Can you meet me in, like, 15 minutes? And she's going, yeah. Next thing I know, I got, like, ice water dumped on me.
Dude.
And I wake up, and and she's pointing at the screen going, who's this? And I said, that's Eddie Brill. He's a comic from New York. I said, she said, really? Eddie wants to meet you around the corner in 15 minutes? And I'm like, oh, boy. So,
and you're down a spleen this whole time.
Thank you. That doesn't mean anything then.
I told Adam the same story my wife's got, and she still has them because I saved them to prove she can be crazy sometimes. She went online pretending to be me and had a love affair pretending to be me. And I love you, can't wait to see you again, hold you in my arms, with a person I'd never met in my whole life. Just as some stalker fan that got lucky.
What was her purpose in doing that?
What was my wife's purpose? Because I cheated once 6 years ago. She wanted to see what was it. This girl wrote me a love letter. She said, I can't wait till we meet when you hugged me in that Persian restaurant. Persian restaurant.
Persian restaurant.
That's why I said. So
euphemism for Danny's underpants.
Yeah.
You want to dine out?
Want to
eat Persian tonight?
Yeah, that Persian restaurant has a red carpet.
Online, that's bad news.
There are no such thing as Persians. Those are Iranians in denial.
That's true.
Thank you.
That's true.
Robert Schimmel, everybody's going to be at Cobbs Comedy Club. Where it all began. He feels most comfortable. He'll be returning to his Mecca.
That's a great city, too.
Yeah, San Francisco, please.
I had a friend. I had a friend that had his wife actually had a girlfriend write him an email, like on the MySpace thing. To see if the guy would reciprocate.
Turn the music down. I got to hear this.
To see if the guy would,
it's
reciprocate.
Entrapment.
And, you know, eventually you know, the conversation, women can say enough where the guy's going to get curious. I mean, it's just, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, cheating is a crime of opportunity, and most people would do it.
There's a difference for me. Like, I won't go out and buy weed. I don't go out and buy pot. I don't like it enough, or I don't know where to get it, or I won't, whatever. But if I'm at a party and someone hands me a joint, it's like, yeah, no problemo. I'll take a drag right
Absolutely.
Off
it's
that
convenient.
Joint. It's convenient. They handed it to me. There's things that are implied, like I don't want to be square and weird and go, no thanks, right. or whatever. And I'm at a party. Yeah, give me a draw off that joint. I'm not a drug addict, but if you showed up at the right time, I could be taken down because I am smoking pot. It's sort of that way with most guys. You want to know why celebrities always get busted for cheating, but the fat guy that works at the old Milwaukee plant and drives the skip loader never gets? Because he doesn't go and travel and do a set that's hysterical at some club in Miami and then go over to the bar to have a drink and have a hot chick ask if he wants to go out and party that night.
No, just, you know, maybe a black basketball player in Colorado that goes out with a girl in a hotel.
Yeah, that was an accident.
And then the girl says that he bruised her vagina, and she said, and he says, no, I didn't. I would have gladly gone to jail to be able to say I did something like that. Are you kidding?
No,
the only way that's going to happen is if I slammed a car door on it.
I know.
Thank you for saving me.
All right, Robert Schimmel, everybody. Cobb's Comedy Club, San Francisco, tomorrow
and just
through
one of the
Sunday.
Funniest guys. I mean, this is just us sitting around chatting with this guy. Wait till you see his act. This is one of the guys I can promise you.
Where do you see Schimmel wake up and try?
Yeah.
You will be blown away.
I mean, this is him without effort.
He's got one foot out the door this whole time. He's just leaning into the studio.
Yes, this is still asleep and this is Robert Schimmel. Oh, forget it. We love the man. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue with March Madness. We got our Sweet 16. I will narrow it down to the Super 8 or whatever the hell it is.
Elite 8
next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Yesterday in March Madness action, frivolous lawsuits.
Oh, of course, there's the people filing the frivolous lawsuits. They should be shot in the head, but it's the lawyers that are profiting from this and need to be stopped.
Got the book thrown at them by airline classical DJ.
This long-winded blowhard. All I want to do is sleep on that plane.
That,
precious,
of course, was L on the G string from Johann Sebastian Bach.
Give me good classical music so that I can fall asleep and not bug the stewardess for another free drink.
Bob Dylan came to play.
Yeah, he's a great musician, except for the part where he can't sing, play the harmonica, or the guitar. Other than that, he's everything you want in a musician.
But national pride left him looking like blood on the tracks.
Have as much national pride as you can stuff up your tukai in your own country, not in someone else's country.
Now the Sweet 16 continues with airline classical DJ versus national pride.
Do a little March Madness with the Ace Man.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
What the hell are we doing with our lives? I just woke up here from high school. I'd be like, what the hell is going on? Who's the Ace Man?
Why is he complaining?
Your name is Brillo Head. All right. Now, Kyle, get ready to man those phones at 866-901-ADAM because we will take your calls and get your input on this. But where we really need your input is online at adamcarolla.com because you will be voting on this and you will push it ahead to see who the Elite Eight is and then the Final Four, and then we will crown a victor. One of these topics, one of these rants is going to be cutting down a net sometime soon, and it's up to you.
And we got down to the brackets. I think the boss has decided that Adam is too informed, that Teresa is too news-like and takes too many facts, and that I just don't know what the hell we're talking about. So collectively, they decided that you should vote to pick the winners.
Right. So, first up is national pride. All right, I have 2 minutes to make a case. Again, I'm not one of these xenophobes. On the other hand, when I watch this parade, followed by that parade, followed by whatever Pride Week, followed by whatever, do they have this in other countries? What about American pride? Aren't we the best? Shouldn't we be proud of ourselves? I'm tired of seeing, you know, driving to work and passing through little Ethiopia and little Armenia and little Korea. And by the way, little Ethiopia, Ethiopia's little Ethiopia. Until you guys can add a third story to to one of your buildings in your country, you are official Little. No Little Italy, by the way. Don't get me started on that. That's a jag for a different day. But the national, and the fact that we applaud it all the time. Oh, it's so great. No, these people, no, they're keeping their language. They're keeping their culture. They're keeping their music. They're keeping their grandparents. They're keeping everything. And they're essentially creating a little snow globe where they exist. Fine. You tell me, go down to a Koreatown. Go down to Little Ethiopia. Go down to Little Tijuana. Go down to Little Fill in the Blank and tell me how it looks over there. Do you see nothing but shiny, expensive cars? There's no crime and the buildings reach as high as the skies? Or is it almost as bad as the country they fled from? Well, you're recreating the crap hole that you fled from. What is that about? What is that? Okay, let me ask you this. If your room sucks and you have a crappy futon and a stupid roommate who's a drug addict, and then you go to a hotel, do you bring the crappy futon with you and the junky roommate?
Did you go to the Nico?
No, you don't go to the Nico. Although I've stayed there before. You don't go to the Nico. Here's all I'm saying. We are a melting pot. Let's melt. You know what we've become? We've went from a melting pot to that big jamboree full of different colored balls at the Chuck E. Cheese, all living together, right. Different colors, not melted, not integrated, just separated.
Holiday popcorn.
That's I don't like it. All
and
right.
And peace sign in the middle.
Next topic. What is it?
Airlines.
Oh, we just, all I'm saying is if you own an airline, if I ran an airline, I would call it, I wouldn't call it anything. It'd just have three Z's. I'd be trying to figure out ways to get people. Here's what it's going to be. The only person that's going to be awake on this flight is going to be the pilot, and that's not when the autopilot's engaged. He'll be sawing logs with the rest of you. I would be pumping ether into the cabin to get people to go to sleep. Why? Because when you have customers that sleep, well, they don't bug the stewardess, and they don't hit that button, and they don't get up and clog the aisles, and they don't have to go to the bathroom when the beverage cart is coming down the thing. You should want nothing more than everyone on your plane to fall asleep. If you own an airline, it will save you millions of dollars a year. So you have 14 stations that your airline has programmed for that airplane, and not one of them conducive to sleeping. You have a country station, you have a western station, you have a comedy station, and the closest you can get is the classical station, except for here's what the classical station sounds like. Taco Bell's cannon. This is good.
Let the day drift away.
This was Air on the G String from Johann Sebastian Bach's Orchestral Suite in D, scored for four-part string orchestra.
What the hell do I need a tutorial on classical music for? I'm trying to go to bed.
The masterful orchestration in the poetic sense.
Please, Winchester, please shut up. I'm trying to
violin
sleep.
Solo and
hey,
piano arrangement.
Waitress!
German violin,
I don't give a good crap, what they're calling you. Give me a drink. Freshen up the highball, sweetie, and shake your ass. This is first class. I'm sorry, it was I know Winchester woke me up.
Wilhelm called it the air.
Oh, Christ. No, it's John Philip Sousa Hoffman. For Christ. Give me another highball. I swear to heaven, if I don't bang one of you in the lab in about 10 minutes, I will take this plane to the ground, then turn it around and land it. I don't give an answer. That's what. Look, please. Thank you.
I really want to fly on your airline, ZZZ.
That's nice.
I really do.
Here's how my thought process works in life. My first thought process is, hey, I got an idea. How about an all classical soothing station program for the airlines so that people can sleep? And on 6-hour flights with no television and a bad movie that's been heavily edited, sleeping, and usually when your clock is spinning around like a whirling dervish, sleeping is high on your list of things to do. I thought, well, I could design a sleep channel for stations, and I did, for US Air. But my second thought is I don't know how long radios or these things have been in airplanes since the 60s.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been a good 40 something years. There's been hundreds of airlines throughout history. I've never flown one that had a sleeping channel. are you kidding me? I'm the guy who's coming up with this idea. The guy who was put on academic probation at L.A. Valley College.
Come on.
You know what it takes to be put on academic probation at a junior college? You have to stab the principal, the number two pencil.
Yeah, but then you came up with crank anchors. Don't try and back down and be ingenious.
True, that was Kimmel, though. Either way, I was smart enough to hitch my team to his wagon. Well, now we must pick a winner, and we'll do it again at AdamCarolla.com. You have heard the entries. It's National Pride versus my airline sleeping station.
I got money on that one.
Really?
Yep.
And the brackets will continue. But, T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news, baby doll?
Well, somebody is on a hunger strike right now, and it has to do with American Idol. Danny's got a half a mouthful of Pop-Tart, but somebody on MySpace is on a serious hunger strike.
She means Britney Spears.
It has to do with American Idol. I'll tell you more about that. Also, there's an Anna Nicole Smith update as we speak. Howard K. Stern is on his way to court, and I'll tell you why.
Wow.
We'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Eden, Australia. A 41-year-old man was almost swallowed alive by a 10-foot shark while diving for shellfish. The man escaped the jaws of the shark after stabbing at its eye with a chisel. Definitely not a Jew.
If I was diving for abalone or any kind of shellfish, I would not announce it before I hit the water, because all the guys that get eaten by sharks were diving for something.
Right.
I would take my watch off. I would throw it into the water right off the edge of the boat, and I would say, oh, I dropped my watch. I'm going after it. Because you never hear about a guy went in after his watch getting eaten by a shark. It's always a guy who's going after the abalone that gets eaten by the shark. That's how I skirt death, my
and
friend.
Now, other fish, not sharks, but predators like barracuda, will be attracted to you by your shiny watch.
Ooh.
Mmm.
Mmm. Mmm.
It's like a lure.
Mmm. Touche, Bonaducci.
Diving guy.
You are a blinding, brilliant light from heaven.
What happened, Adam? He was eaten by a bass.
But a wide mouth bass.
Wide
a
mouth.
Large mouth bass.
Evidently, I mean, they're speculating. They haven't found the bass, but it's probably not a rainbow. It's probably a big mouth, because Corolla's got a big mouth, and that bass couldn't have got his big mouth around Corolla's big mouth.
Or Corolla would have eaten that bass.
That's right. You know what I love about bass? I love that they come in 8-ounce sizes, and they come in 500-pound sizes. When you see the little ones you catch in the stream, the little rainbow trout or the little bass that you see in the stream, they're little. They're like a pound. Yeah. And then you go to the aquarium, and you see the giant grouper, which looks like a bass. And it is a sea bass that was hit with gamma radiation. All I'm saying is we have small people.
The gamma radiation, is that what please do so much?
We have small people. We have people that go 40, 50 pounds. We have Troy Verner, or whatever. We have Mini-Me over there, and we have Shaquille. But there's 250 pounds that separate these two.
Yeah.
This is 8 ounces versus 500 pounds.
I like that. Like a kitten and a mountain lion.
No. Bigger.
Bigger.
All right, T.
Kind of like a dwarf and Shaq.
That big. But bigger.
Don't patronize me. Let's do the freaking news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on the station right now.
Rush Limbaugh and California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger have gotten into it lately. Rush Limbaugh...
Big mouth basses, both of them.
Yes. Rush Limbaugh accused Schwarzenegger of being a Democrat, even though he identifies himself as a Republican. Yes. So Arnold Schwarzenegger on the Today Show fired back. And here's what Arnold had to say about Rush Limbaugh.
All irrelevant. Rush Limbaugh is irrelevant. I'm not his servant. I'm the people's servant of California. What they call me, if it's a Democrat or a Republican or in the center or a change or this or that, that's not my bottom line. This is for them to talk about.
Yeah, now, why is he accused of being a Democrat? Because his stance
on
immigration, things like that?
I think some of his social policies
I personally feel Republican-Democrat is now getting antiquated. I don't know anybody that is informed, anyway.
Yes.
That is either one to the bone.
They are merging, some say. They're yeah. getting closer together.
You know, well, I like a woman's right to choose, absolutely.
Right.
Right? I am in favor of that, making me a Republican.
Social, liberal, fiscal, conservative.
Democrat.
Right.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But I like to think of myself more as an independent just because it has the word independent in it.
Yes. You know, a couple thoughts on this. One is it feels to me like they're moving about the same pace as men and women as we come together and cross the X.
Right.
We both started at the right and the left, the bottom of the X. But as we move up, as the time passes, as guys don't fight or change flats anymore and women go off to work and take kung fu classes, we're eventually melding into the same sex. I feel like Democrat and Republican are starting to turn into the same thing as men and women are starting to turn into the same thing.
I disagree with that, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because God hates women.
Because of... Because of Aunt Flo?
No, but partly. Okay, what'd you get? You got one extra rib that we're not missing.
Right.
Okay? Now, it says you get to give birth, but that's not exactly what it says. It says you get to give birth in agony. I never have cramps once a month. I don't bloat and retain water.
Yeah.
What is it that you did to God make him want to do this to you?
You don't get a break on your auto insurance, and you don't die 8 years later either.
Right, but have you checked outside lately? I don't know that living another 8 years is a bonus round.
Oh, you're saying the first to die were the lucky.
Were the lucky ones.
All I'm saying is men are becoming women, or women are becoming men, or we're both becoming each other. And Republicans, right, Republicans and Democrats are starting to become, in the 50s, you knew your Republicans, and you knew your Democrats, and you knew your men, and you knew your women.
I don't know why they give speeches.
I don't know who's a man, and who's a woman, and who's a Republican. Republican and Democrat anymore.
Well, I'll say this. If God hates women, then he doesn't show it by giving us high heels and mascara. I would never want to be a man for those two things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does God hate Heather Mills?
Yeah, maybe.
Well,
the people do.
She's down a leg, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
And she's
now
on,
God hates you.
And she's on Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Which last week attracted over 21 million viewers, certainly in no small part because people wanted to watch Heather Mills.
Sure. I did.
Who did a phenomenal job despite the fact that she is on one artificial limb. 21.7 million people watched. Now, here is Heather Mills discussing her appearance on Dancing with the Stars, which, by the way, remember back when there was a rumor, all the tabloids were saying she was going to go on Dancing with the Stars, and it seemed like this can't be true.
Right.
Well, it turns out the rumor was the reason she started on the was the reason she went on the show, because the network heard the rumor, ABC, and thought, wait a second.
What a great idea.
Let's get her on the show. And she decided to do it. So she admitted this on Larry King. And here's what else she had to say about her ex-husband, Paul McCartney.
There were reports that Paul sent you flowers.
He did. Yeah. Which was
what
nice.
What did he say? What did the card say?
It just said, dear mommy, love daddy and Beatrice. So it was nice.
Well, did that surprise you?
No. Because we still have a friendship. It's only his lawyers that are a nightmare. We're fine.
The lawyers are the bad guys.
Oh, yeah. Not on my side, but on his side. There's a nasty woman that...
If left to your own devices, things would be all right?
Things would have been right a long time ago.
Yeah, just back up a baylor and drop off $100 million at my flat, and everything would have been fine. We could have remained friends. Of course you want to remain friends with the guy who's giving you $100
million.
$56
million. According to published reports, $56
million. For, 3 years of marriage?
Four, I believe.
Whatever
it is.
It's well over $10 million a year to be married to Sir Paul McCartney, who's just, the worst thing about him is he's overly friendly these days.
It's
good to see you.
He must be just pickled. If I had to sit down and cut a check for $54 million, it would go something like this. It'd be like when the Fonz had to say he was wrong.
Or if you say, I love you, you can do that.
I would sit down and my hand would start writing the check, and then it would start shaking and then would pop up, and then I would yell, I've lost control of my arm. And then I would start lunging at people around me, yelling, get back. And then eventually I would stab it into my trachea and fall down onto the ground.
All right, would you like to hear the exact sound of me writing a check to my ex-wife for $56 million?
Yes.
All right.
Now, here it is.
Gunshot, you idiot.
Wow.
There we go.
The porn app decided to write my joke for me.
Oh. Danny started waving at me wildly like for the sound. I thought that was what he was going for.
Okay. Buddy Corolla knew.
All right.
I knew it was a gunshot, too, but I thought the tube and throat singing was hilarious. Now,
yeah, every day
wait, let
me,
literally, let me say a couple of quick things. I don't know why Heather Mills McCartney reminded me of this, but I heard this when I was skipping my rope last night watching The Insider, and I thought, I don't know why, but I was tickled by this.
The world-famous star left puffy face after plastic surgery. The grandmother turned X-rated sensation. And Heather Mills watches an emotional message from a little girl amputee in moments.
Wow.
Oh, I can't miss that episode.
That says it all. I got a grandma in porn, you got a puffy face star, and the emotional amputee girl.
Well, speaking of stars, Anna Nicole Smith, big star, now deceased, as you all know. And right now, Howard K. Stern has loaded baby Danny Lynn into a car in the Bahamas. They're on their way for their DNA test.
It'd be nice if Heather Mills and Howard K. Stern got together to be the world's most hated couple.
Yes!
Well, you know what also they
would be?
It would really, they'd also be the world's most artificial color couple. You know what I mean? At least one of them would be partly plastic that we claim they all are.
I also think that, since life is sort of becoming pro wrestling, like the bad guy comes out and yells into the microphone, and then they all go back to the locker room and count the money and laugh.
Right.
I wonder if life isn't turning into this. I mean, I wonder if Heather Mills or Howard K. Stern or K-Fed or any of these guys, I wonder if they're all just sort of laughing because they're in the headlines and everyone hates them, but are we all just at a wrestling match now?
I'm not sure. If you'd like a legitimate and semi-emotional answer, I did a job not too long ago, I won't say who or where, but sometimes I would cry, I'd come home and break down that's what I had to do to a living, and that I'd become such a whore that I knew I'd do it again tomorrow.
Is this gay porn on the internet?
Yes.
Can we see it?
I used to say to my bosses or to my wife, how can my bosses be such whores as to keep this kind of human being? And then I realized I work next to that human being every day for money. So I don't think people that do horrible things for money laugh all the time.
Are you talking about doing Frankie Bonaducci?
No, an old radio show.
Okay.
100 years ago.
Well, interesting you should mention Breaking Bonaducci because you've got a new show. It's called The Next Child Star. And by the way, parents, if you're out there and you've got a kid between 8 and 13 and you think your child can act, sing, or dance, and you yourself have a little bit of charm to you, I'm talking about the parents, you can go down to an open call to be on Danny Bonaducci's new show, The Next Child Star. That's this Sunday, March 25th, from 11 to 4 p.m. at Raleigh Studios in Manhattan Beach. Bring photos and videos, and you should come down and you can meet Danny.
By the way, thank you very much, Teresa. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
But just so you know, parents, when it says we're really looking for parents are just as important as the kids, because even as bad as you think I am, I'm not going to Simon Cowell your kid. I'm just not.
Right.
Which means I'm going to Simon Cowell you. With your kid out of the room so he doesn't have to watch.
Well,
I want those colorful parents that do wild and really are into it and all about it. I want those guys. And I'd really like to discover the next big child star. And then I'd like to lock that little bastard down to a contract and milk him. did that come out loud?
Well, perhaps,
anyway, yes. Raleigh Studios Sunday?
Yes, yeah. March 25th, 11 to 4. And perhaps the next big star, Melinda Doolittle. She was on American Idol last night, and I think it's fair to say she had the best performance of the night. She sang a song from the musical Oliver, As Long As He Needs Me. Here's what they had to say.
Are you really as nice as you seem?
I hope so.
You are, aren't you?
I hope so.
I totally agree with Randy. I thought it was, when it started, a very boring song, but you made the second part of the song absolutely sensational with an impeccable vocal.
I was bummed because I thought the category was British Invasion.
Yes, it was.
And Oliver, the musical, was not part of the British Invasion.
It was based on a Dickens novel, so it's British.
Well, it's British, yes. Yeah, so, look, if someone could have driven a Jaguar out on stage, it wouldn't have been
British.
Part of the British Invasion or ate a crumpet. I mean, for Christ's sake. And by the way, who are you Brits kidding with that crumpet? Wait a minute. What was I thinking of?
English muffin?
That's our English muffin. Yeah. It's a crappy English muffin. Yeah, I thought I was going to... Well, I guess you can't hear any Beatles, but, I thought we were going to hear some, I don't know, Herman's Hermits or Clubs or something.
Henry the Eighth, I am.
Yes, I had no idea what song that was.
Thank you for reminding me. We did hear the Kinks, and I'm sorry, briefly let me tell you. A woman on MySpace, Sanjaya sang a Kinks song, as you'll recall. A woman on MySpace feels so strongly that Sanjaya from American Idol should be voted off the show. She's starving herself until he's voted off.
All right, and I hope it's a real starvation thing because normally, a lot of times they drink the water and they have a biscuit or something,
all
and
right,
they're on
what's
a half whatever.
Name?
She's on MySpace.
You find her, and I'll challenge her right now. I'll go. I won't eat until he's kicked off my the show too.
Big deal.
Shut up. I hate it when people make these big blowhard statements. He's the next to go. You know, you can make it a day, 2 days, whatever it is, till the next show. Instead, you're on my news, on our show, because you're not going to snack. Shut up. If we want to talk about dumb bitches that won't eat, let's talk about Nicole Richie. Be done with it.
Well, Danny, you're 2% body fat.
Yeah,
if you don't eat in the next 10 minutes, you'll fall off.
I eat almost... There were just
Pop-Tarts
in my mouth.
It's now 9 minutes, Danny. You want to collapse on
the
show?
Well, the big news is that, Adam Carolla, you've said that if I had sex, I would not vote for American Idols.
That's right.
That would cure me of needing to vote.
Cure you of a lot of things, sister.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. CNN.
Ah, good news. Prisoner David. We haven't spoken to him in quite some time because he's been in lockdown. We'll find out why he was in lockdown. I hope it was a riot or someone found a shiv or something good. But what we were going to talk to him about was what happens to the predators in the joint, fresh off of our obsession with the catch a predator. And we'll continue that conversation with him. So, an actual prisoner in the joint, in for attempted murder or conspiracy to commit murder.
I'm kind of new, so I don't know how well you know that this is all on the up and up. I guess the second you hear this guy, you know this is not a gag. But this is a guy doing 25 to life for putting out a hit on his wife.
Yes.
And he's insightful.
Oh, not on his wife, on somebody who accused him of sexual harassment.
Yes.
Even better.
And he does better radio than
we
do.
Maybe I was thinking
sadly.
About
it. We'll talk to him next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to check in with David, who's doing 25 to life in a California state penitentiary for conspiracy to commit murder.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we'll be fast because David is going to get hung up on by Johnny Law in like 7 minutes. David?
Adam, what's up, man?
Good to speak to you, my brother.
Dude, I've been gone for like 5 weeks, been on lockdown, man.
I know. What happened?
Well, this guy, he jumped off like the fourth tier, and I think he was trying to kill himself. So once he landed, he didn't die. He actually lived, man.
Mm.
So they did this long investigation. They found out he was a convicted sex offender.
Brings us to our next question, right, Adam?
But wait, right? Because I think there's more David's trying to tell us.
There's actually more to the story.
Sure.
Basically, they did this investigation. They didn't know if somebody threw him off the tier or actually somebody, that was had it in for him. He did it himself. Mm-hmm. You know, what the story was. Here's the bottom line. It's basically a cellie was trying to pimp him out. Trying to pimp him.
A cellie was trying to pimp him.
Yeah, he's putting a lot of pressure on him. I guess he found out it's paperwork or something. And, he was trying to throw him off the tier or do something. So
So let me get this straight. If your cellmate or anyone else comes up to you and goes, I know why you're in here. You're not in here for armed robbery. You're in here because you felt up a Cub Scout troop, and I will tell everybody unless you go to work for me. Is that how it works?
Ooh. Go to another yard?
Hey, you have to be a fan of their prisoner, David.
Okay, it's all good.
Gotta watch your language.
You know, we talking here. Just like, that's all we talk about.
I just got out, so I'm not doing it anymore.
You're not sailors. Good man.
For God's sakes.
You're noble convicts. Well, so how does and how do people find out what everyone is in there for? Because it seems like every time I find out...
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
It never always makes me laugh. It must be great when you call the kids. When I watch these movies and everyone knows who and what everyone is in for, how does that work? How does everyone find out? If I'm a pedophile, how does everyone in the joint find out that I'm a pedophile?
Right, we're trying to keep it a secret. How do they know? Although I think I have my ideas, but I'd like to hear from the real convict.
Well, yeah, okay, here's the way. Okay, in California, I don't know about other states, but here's the way it works in California. They got it pretty much secretive. Inmates don't have access to people's files like it used to be. Like maybe 20 years ago, inmates had access to people's files. But now, here's what happens. Basically, a guy could be found out, like, let's say his paperwork gets slid under the door, or the counselor slides under the door or something,
mm-hmm.
or let's say they see it on television. Hey, I remember that dude. He was on television, you know, something like that.
Right.
But for the most part, these guys are living in fear, man. I mean, there's a proverb. It says something like, anticipation of death is worse than death itself.
Yeah.
You heard that before?
Yes. Lowest guy in the food chain in the joint are the guys, the sexual predators, right?
Absolutely.
Is there a king of the food chain? Like, what about a cop killer?
They're pretty much in the same boat. It's like sometimes they have these certain yards where they put these guys at. You know, but here's the thing, though. See, here's what's interesting. These guys are roaming around in the general population, and until they're found out is only when they're moved. In other words, you know, they don't just throw them in one place, which I feel they should. They should just put them all in one prison.
Can I tell my, and to correct me if I'm wrong, I just want to try my old hat back on, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
The king of the yard is not a cop killer, because the cops hate him so much, they watch everything he does. They hope he gets killed. They're going to turn their back if he gets shivved. The king in jail right now is who's ever highest up on the Mexican mafia ladder.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it works, yeah.
Yep, that's the way it works.
Mm-hmm. They use ladders. I heard they stack donkeys.
I was going to go tier, but it just sounded gay.
Either way,
that's true. The Mexican mafia is out of control.
You got to hook up with a group, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But see, like I said, see, a lot of the sex offenders, sometimes they don't get shivved or they don't get told to roll up. If they have special skills, let's say that they can, the other guys can use them. Mm-hmm. Let's say they're good at hooking up some cable wires, get some cable TV or something. Or they might be used and utilized.
Right now, Prisoner David is running with a group of ex-AM DJs that put a hit on their wife. There's only two of them.
Because Prisoner David, you used to be in radio, yes?
Yes, actually I was, yeah.
It'd be great to have him as here. You're trapped in a room that's 6 foot by 8 foot long, and you got a guy going, it's 7:27 after 7 o'clock. 33 waves up now. We got Savage Garden Superset coming up in C block.
I love Savage Garden.
Weather, traffic, and shivings on the ones.
Traffic, weather, shivings, lockdown. Looks like Brubaker's coming into town. He's gonna be doing his own brand of discipline coming up. And someone's getting sodomized in the shower. I'm gonna say it's 99th caller's gonna be.
I got one test question to prove if you were really in radio or not. You ready?
Yes.
You have to listen carefully.
Okay. Call. A California correctional facility.
It's exactly 9:44. How many minutes till 10?
I think like 16.
That's
wow.
Good thing, but he's been a little out of practice. But that's pretty fast. That's pretty good.
Well, look. Colleges have radio stations. Does the prison have a radio station?
You know, that we should have one. We should have one, yeah.
Well, if you think about it, they always do this stuff where they're like, oh, they have, dance recitals, and they train animals, and they have workshops, and they have all kinds of things to keep people busy in a constructive way. Why not have a radio station?
How about KLOQ, K-Lock?
Nice.
I like that.
You know, 99 to life on your AM dial.
Three hots and a cot.
I got the warden and the nudge coming up to 7 o'clock hour. This guy's doing some great stuff. I got the Birdman Alcatraz. He's coming up. He's doing overnight. Hey, you folks, quit your tunneling and put your ears on for a second. I got an announcement coming up. We'll be serving S on a shingle today. Wait a minute. Late breaking news out of the cherry cobbler. And you do little signals.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you get word, oh, this is a great movie. Good morning.
San Quentin.
Right.
Yeah, here it is. Yeah, you get the word that the guards are going to shake down the cells looking for porn.
You gotta sneak it out in code.
The code is a Donovan song, or the code is, you know what I mean? You play the code.
Oh, there's a little moment like that in The Warriors with that disc jockey with just a pair of lips.
Oh, hell.
You're making it home, babies.
You're scaring me, Bonnet.
I know, but I'm kind of hot.
So, David, you're in for how many more years, by the way?
2012. 2015, I've got a parole date.
I'm coming out against right now.
How are you feeling? You feeling confident?
Oh, boy, I tell you, a lot of guys are getting denied parole nowadays, so it doesn't look too good.
Well, you almost always lose your first one. You're aware of that, right?
Can I ask
that? Let me say this, too. 2000, I don't know, etiquette. 2015, too soon to get a haircut and put on a suit?
Yeah.
Should we wait a few more years?
Well, I've been growing my hair long lately. It's kind of long, so, yeah.
Quick question to you before we wrap it
Prisoner
up.
Prisoner David, is March Madness big in the joint? And if so, who do you have going to the finals?
Oh, man. You know something? You're gonna try trip. I'm not even the sports at all myself. Mm-hmm. But that's a question definitely for our guy here, our sports guy, Jackass. Remember Jackass?
Oh, yeah. Sports guy.
But, yeah, everybody watches sports in here. Definitely March Madness is a thing. It's a thing in here, man. Everybody's watching except for me, of course.
What about American Idol? Are you watching that?
Yes. Sanjaya, he would have a very hard time in here.
What? Do all your cellmates know you're gay?
Yeah.
His
hair would become a handle almost immediately if Sanjaya went in the joint. Prisoner David, I know they're going to cut you off in about 30 seconds.
Literally.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for being part of the show.
Great job,
and,
Prisoner.
You know, hey, whenever you're in the neighborhood or not on lockdown,
recorded call from an inmate.
We'd love to speak to you. It's always enlightening.
Absolutely.
Thanks, David.
Drop by my house around what, 2015?
Yeah, 2015 or so. We need to take a quick break. Be back to wrap it up next on the Adam Carolla Show. Well, that is almost that. I would like to ask all who are within the sound of my voice and within arm's reach of a computer to hop on to AdamCarolla.com and vote because we got our March Madness continuing on through this week. Dirty Laundry, Don Henley's Dirty Laundry versus... came like a bad taste in my mouth versus recycling ads and the length of the baseball season versus speed bumps tomorrow on March Madness. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
This week on Hack, in order to catch an international jewel thief, Hack is going to have to become a rapist.